one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Counselor Anderson?
Here.
Counselor Lazier?
Here.
Counselor Stone?
Here.
Counselor Egbert?
Here.
Counselor Boggs?
Here.
Counselor Meyer?
Here.
Mayor McKnight?
Here.
All present.
Introduction of media. Do we have any media here tonight? Okay. Announcements. Anyone wishing to speak before the City Council tonight on any subject matter will need to fill out a speaker form and turn it into the recorder. Forms are available on the sign-in table at the back of the room. Public comment. The purpose of the public comment period is to allow citizens to present information or raise issues regarding agenda items only. There will be a time at the end of the meeting for citizens to speak about off-agenda items. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. All citizens must come up to the microphone. Please state name and address. And with that, I got another little section here. Just for the night only, we're going to hold all public comment concerning the fire services discussion until the agenda item comes up. Please fill out your comment request form to the city recorder anytime leading up to that point, or any topic that comes up under consideration of the council. At that time, we will allow the district to chew a few short minutes to make a presentation, followed by citizens' comments, and then deliberation and consideration by the council. Okay? So in hopes that they give a presentation, maybe that will answer some questions, and if it doesn't, then you feel free to come up after that. So does anybody have anything else on the agenda other than fire that they'd like to come up and speak about? Nobody? Okay. Down to presentations. So we have a proclamation for the Sullivan Girls basketball team. We're going to read here. The City of Sullivan, Office of the Mayor Proclamation, whereas in 2015, the Sullivan High School Girls basketball team, also known as the Sullivan Lady Bulldogs, finished the season with an overall record of 28-0. With a tremendous season by winning league and the Class 4A State Basketball Championship, bringing their record for the past 2 years at a very impressive 56-0 straight wins. Whereas, under the leadership and guidance of head coach Josh Grotting and assistant coaches Sherry Mosier and the late Bill Spilgotti, the team competed in the finals at the Liberty High School Auditorium as the defending state champions, with a nail-biting score of Sullivan 51, Henley 46. And whereas the Sullivan High School girls basketball team won the 2015 state championship with a victory that will go down as one of the greatest moments in Sullivan High School's history by winning back-to-back state championships and becoming one of the only three members of an elite group of Oregon High School girls basketball team to win back-to-back championships without any losses. Whereas the Sullivan City Council recognizes the Sullivan girls basketball team members Miranda Mendenhall, Bailey Merrifield, Olivia Lutenford, Ricky Mock, McKenna Foley, Gabby Cormella, Caitlin Gordon, Harley Baker, Cassidy Bell, Eliza Swornson, Samantha Tilley, Taylor Klein, Casey Mock, and Megan Bradley, as well as Coach Josh Grotting, Sherry Mosier, and the late Bill Spilgotti. With their accomplishments they demonstrated over the past several months, their hard work, dedication, perseverance, and love of the sport of Sullivan basketball. And whereas after several months of commitment, teamwork, and fun for a very talented basketball team and their coaches, the Sullivan High School girls basketball season came to a remarkable end, with Miranda Mendenhall, Olivia Glutford selected in all tournament first team honors, and second team honors went to Ricky Mock and Casey Mock. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sullivan City Council, in recognition of the accomplishments of Sullivan High School girls basketball team, hereby proclaims April 13, 2015, as Sullivan High School Girls Basketball Team Day. Is there any representatives from the basketball team here?
He wasn't sure they were going to make it.
Yeah, we did an assembly for him, so. Okay. Down to council business. Consent agenda. Minutes from the March 23rd, 2015 regular meeting, and the minutes from the April 6th, 2015 special meeting. Okay, motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda for the March 23rd meeting and April 6th special meeting.
Second.
Which one?
Give it to Karen.
It was Ty.
On arm loss, or was he right?
They moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Go ahead and vote.
Anderson?
Aye.
Excuse me, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
Aye.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Action items, general business, resolution number 2015.02, declaring police department surplus. Call for staff report.
And he's not here.
Mr. Mayor,
he's ill.
Can everybody hear me okay? I guess it doesn't matter. Mr. Mayor, members of council, the chief isn't here. I will just make your request to approve this based on the staff report.
I move to approve resolution 2015.14.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2015.02, declaring police department surplus. No more discussion.
What was the surplus?
Forrest has a question. What is the surplus?
It was coins.
It was a coin collection. It's in the resolution. Nine books with dimes, half dollars, and silver dollars. We brought in as evidence some time ago.
2010, it said.
Mm-hmm.
2010.
It's not worth half as much now.
Yeah.
Any more questions or discussion? Go ahead and vote.
Councillor Anderson?
Aye.
Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
Aye.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
On to the next, ordinance number 1042, marijuana dispensary, second reading and adoption. Recorder, you read the ordinance by title only.
Ordinance number 1042, marijuana dispensaries, an ordinance of the City of Sutherland, amending Title 16 of the Sutherland Municipal Code, restricting marijuana dispensaries to the Community Commercial Zone, C3, and declaring an emergency.
Call for staff report. Is that you, Vicki?
That would be me. So, just to summarize, you heard the first reading of this ordinance at a special meeting on the 6th of April last week. It was approved, but I think there was still some questions. Some questions were posed to the city attorney, and he answered those via email. So hopefully you've got all your questions answered before the second reading. The second reading would adopt the ordinance. It would become effective May 1.
Okay, the 1,000 feet was changed to 500 feet. Does that have to stay the same for the second reading?
I'll defer that to the city attorney. I don't believe so.
No, you can make amendments to the ordinance tonight, and it can be adopted tonight, so long as we either read the amendment aloud or provide it in writing. So if we want to just make that one change, we could certainly read that aloud.
Well, I'm going to talk about a total ban on dispensaries in Sutherland. It's against the federal law. According to the Constitution, there's a supremacy clause on the federal law, whereas I realize that the federal government is not enforcing some of our laws right now, that we could get another administration that will enforce that law, and I don't feel, as a counselor, that I took my oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States and all its laws, that I want to vote for something that's banned by the federal government.
Okay.
I would be in agreement with a ban if so the council were to go in that direction. And that's kind of what I wanted to ask, is the consensus of the council on what we want to go. You know, Chad had some really good points in his email back to Karen. Answered a lot of questions and the risk involved and that kind of thing, as far as possible litigation and what Cave Junction has gone through and is going through. It's a risk that I'm willing to take, or at least look into. So I'm in favor of that.
Can I stop her for me? Can we get at least a motion, a second, and we can discuss it? We should have a motion on the table.
I make a motion that Sutherland approves a ban on marijuana dispensaries.
I second that.
There's been moved and seconded for City of Sutherland to ban all marijuana dispensaries. In seconds. We can open that up for discussion now.
Hey Chad, how would we get from here to there?
Well, we wouldn't adopt this ordinance tonight. Instead, we would have to bring back another ordinance. And I think we would do it as a police restriction as opposed to a land use restriction. As you know, this is a proposal that's going to amend your development code, which had to go through a very specific process whereby we had to have a hearing before the Planning Commission. It was brought to you. Instead of doing an amendment to the development code, I think we would just do a general public health and safety restriction, bring back another ordinance to you. It would still require two readings, so we would have most likely want to do a special meeting sometime between now and your April 27th meeting, so that way we could have two readings to adopt the prohibition.
Chad, what is the... If we didn't address the situation in front of us, is it just like if it didn't pass before, I mean, there'd be no restriction, they can go about and do their business because the federal law is not restricting anything. Does that make sense what I'm asking? Because you said before, you know, the only thing the state required is it the school restriction. So as of May 1st, I think it is, they could come and set up shop anywhere. There's not a whole lot we can do about it if we don't put something in place, regardless of what Karen is saying, because the federal government is not enforcing that.
Well, so if we had our own restriction about the ability for medical marijuana dispensaries to locate within the city and basically prohibit that, if someone opened up that kind of retail establishment, we would take the position that it violates city law and then take appropriate enforcement action related to basically attempting to close down the business through an enforcement action. That's sort of where the litigation would likely arise. Or someone may say that they want to, they have a desire to open a shop and then affirmatively sue the city. So there's two ways that could arise. If it turns out that we lose litigation that's filed and the court says we have no authority to impose the complete ban, then the fallback position would be the only restrictions in place would be those state law restrictions. We wouldn't have these types of restrictions in place to say here's only certain areas within the city you could locate. You know, some cities, like the city of Sandy, for example, have taken a belt and suspenders approach where they did a ban and they said if the ban no longer exists, they have zoning restrictions in place, which is certainly another option you could do. We could amend this ordinance tonight to say, you know, if the city passes a ban and that ban is found unlawful, then these restrictions apply. And then you could have these restrictions sort of as a backup.
So then we could go back to the 1,000 feet, if that was...
You could have the 1,000 feet, you could have the 500 feet. Okay. You know, I've already given you some legal advice about, you know, the risk related to those changes. But that's certainly a policy call, just like imposing a ban would be a policy call for you guys to determine if you want to take that risk.
Would it cost... For the first step of it, to try to uphold the city part of it, that would cost litigation before you could go to. So if they question it, and then you know state law is going to trump in city law, and then you go to Plan B, but it's going to cost money for Plan A first to get through the litigation.
Yeah, and if in fact we impose a prohibition, hypothetically speaking, the council decides we're going to prohibit medical marijuana dispensaries in the city. It could be that everyone looks at that law and says, okay, it's prohibited, we're not going to open, there's no litigation, it doesn't cost you a dime, nothing ever opens up. Option two could be that someone says, hey, I want to open a dispensary, I think your prohibition is illegal under state law, and they sue the city over that. And that's what's happened in Cave Junction and in the city of Sandy. Option three could be someone says, I don't care what your city law says, I'm opening up anyways, and then we have to take an affirmative enforcement action to try to shut them down, and that's where the litigation would arise.
And what keeps them from going across the street to the county?
Nothing.
Not one thing.
Good point.
What I found interesting about your answers was that putting the restriction back to 1,000 feet is also likely to trigger litigation. And so I have no problem with putting it back to 1,000 feet. The least amount of dispensaries that we have, the better. But it sounds to me like either the 1,000 feet or the complete ban is going to trigger litigation.
Good.
As I said in my advice to you guys, there's no way to predict this with any amount of certainty. You know, I'm trying to read tea leaves as best I can, you know, trying to give you that advice. You know, and the more restrictive you are, the more chance there is of litigation. So with an absolute prohibition, your risk rises more. You have a broader limitation on where the marijuana dispensaries can be located, so 1,000 feet as opposed to 500 feet, you increase your risk a little bit more. If you go down to 500 feet, your risk gets a little lower. If you take out that prohibition, it's even lower. You know, I'm not saying that you should adopt any or all of those. It's just a matter of risk assessment and saying, okay, well, what are you as the policymakers comfortable with as far as taking that risk?
I think we have to look at it from other than a point of view of how much money is it going to cost. We all want to save the taxpayer as much money as we can and be as frugal with the taxpayer's money and as smart with it as we can. But in the end, if you didn't have marijuana in your town, would it pay for itself down the line? You wouldn't have, you would have people who would maybe be more willing to settle here. If you put it down to 500 feet, you're going to have, are people going to go to the, say, well, I'm not going to take the kids to the Taco Bell because there's a dispensary across the street. Those are the kinds of quality of life issues that we need to think about, and also we need to think about police enforcement. Is having marijuana in the town going to increase the amount of police enforcement that you're going to have? So you might be talking about $20,000 or $25,000, but what is that really over the long term?
We're just talking about dispensaries. The citizens passed the law in the state of Oregon that allows this. So if they buy it in Douglas County or Roseburg or Oakland or someplace else, they can still bring it to Sutherland.
They can bring it, but they're not going to be able to smoke it out on the street or in a public place. They're going to have to stay in somebody's house with it.
Legal.
Legal.
We have law enforcement for that.
I've retired law enforcement.
Yeah.
Sure.
Jerry.
I have a question that I meant to ask or add to the list and just got too busy to do so. The 500-foot prohibition allows for, marijuana dispensaries in an area that currently isn't residential. But we're going to go through a urban growth boundary swap that is going to rezone all those lands residential in within 1,000 feet of this area. How does that affect? Would we be prohibited from rezoning land residential because it would then violate our own ordinance?
No, you'll be changing the law. The risk you run is that if a medical marijuana dispensary opens up in one of those areas before the law is changed, then they would be a pre-existing non-conforming use, so they could stay there notwithstanding the fact that you've got the 500-foot prohibition in place.
Any more discussion on the motion?
Well, I think that we ought to do as Chad, we can take up the ban maybe after we take up the restrictions that we're going to put on, so that if we decide to go with the ban and lose at that level, that we do have some restrictions on it. So,
are you amending your motion?
I'm amending my motion.
To say what?
To say to go ahead with what we passed last time, except to move it back to 1,000 feet.
Okay.
And then
Time out. So she amends her motion.
I know. I'm looking for a second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm just waiting.
And just take care of that first, and then have.
Okay. My question. Well, I'll second.
Sorry,
that.
Mr. Mayor.
I'll second that to get us to discuss.
There you go.
So then, possibly make another motion after that about the ban. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you want to get the ordinance through and second reading done?
Right.
Yeah, I second.
That's with 1,000 feet.
I have two different motions.
There's been a motion to, as the ordinance reads previously, except changing the footage to 1,000 feet. Okay. Any discussion on that?
So just to clarify, because there's different 1,000 feet prohibitions in the ordinance, what we're talking about is amending the language that says it may not be within 500 feet of a residential zone to be within 1,000 feet of property zone residential.
Yes.
Right.
Any more discussion?
Along with that, it said also otherwise lawfully used for residential purposes.
Correct.
Go ahead and vote.
Councillor Anderson?
Aye.
Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
No.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
No.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Okay, move on to the next one.
I'd like to make a motion that we put a ban on marijuana dispensaries in city limits.
Second.
Wait a minute. We already had a motion.
Yeah.
That was for the
ordinance.
No,
we didn't.
She amended it.
It was.
Yeah.
We did before they did the fact.
But then they amended it.
No, we corrected that.
I thought we amended the original motion.
Mm-hmm. For the
and
1,000 feet.
And then agreed to do a second motion.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are we okay with that? I mean,
I am all knowing.
To me, there's still a motion up there.
Do we need to tie that motion to the last one, though? Do we just say want to ban marijuana dispensaries?
You made the motion to ban marijuana.
Ban marijuana dispensaries in city limits.
So if I can make a suggestion, since we have to bring an ordinance back to you guys to actually do that, I would suggest that the motion would be that you're directing staff to bring an ordinance back to you that can be adopted before May 1st to ban medical marijuana dispensaries within the city limits of Sutherland.
I agree.
Yes, me too.
I'm sorry, it doesn't have to be before May 1st.
Well, yeah, we have the ordinance in place.
You got the ordinance in place.
Yeah, we don't have that.
But as of May 1st, if you don't have the prohibition in place, then a dispensary can open up consistent with the ordinance you just
maybe
passed.
Maybe I'm not all knowing.
And I want to be clear, it's marijuana dispensaries, medical or recreational.
Right. Any marijuana dispensary.
Okay, so you made the vote. Did you second it?
I did.
Okay. Open for discussion. Go ahead.
Are we tying the two of these together like Chad said originally, where if one doesn't fly, we can back ourselves down?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was wondering. Mm-hmm.
The ordinance is in place.
Yeah, the ordinance will be in place, so if the ban fails, then the ordinance
I kind of heard him saying that the two were, it was mm-hmm. stacked
those
on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it that way too.
So what? since we got a motion.
Is that going to work, Chad?
Yeah, so what we would do, if this is the desire of the council, we would bring back an ordinance that would say, notwithstanding the ordinance that was just passed, no marijuana dispensaries are permitted within the city limits of Sutherland. And then if we'd have language in there that says if that is found unlawful by a court, then dispensaries may only locate within the city consistent with the ordinance that you just passed.
So what we're saying here, you need to think about one thing. If a person in this community needs it for his medicine, you're going to require them to get on a bus or have somebody drive them to another community to get their medicine and then come back.
That's what they're doing now.
You know, what they're going to do is they're just going to grow it in their backyards.
Or they can do that, because that'll be legal.
The thing is, if it's a prescription and somebody needs it for pain or nausea or whatever they need it for, it should be handled by a pharmacist. It can't be handled by a pharmacist because it's an illegal federal drug.
You have to go to the legislature for that. I mean,
Illegal federal drug. And so you either have to have the federal people change the law, or you have to have... That's what you have to do. You have to have the federal people change the law.
Chad, and you said the other cities that have done this are tied up in litigation, Cave Junction and whatever?
Sandy. Cave Junction, the city of Sandy. I don't know. There may be other cities who have done it who have not been sued. You know, my guess is that there probably are, but I don't know those off the top of my head.
Thank you. Is there any other questions or discussion? Go ahead and vote.
Councillor Anderson?
Aye.
Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
No.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
No.
Motion carries.
So, Chad, would this be an appropriate time to talk about the grow laws? Because I asked him some questions about the grow laws, but I gave him my opinion also, which can't be passed on to the rest of you, so...
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly talk about them if you want. You know, if we're talking about recreational marijuana, as we discussed before, there's no, unless the law changes, there's no licenses that'll be issued until next January. As you may have read in the paper, there is discussion or there's a proposal at the legislature to allow recreational sales at medical marijuana dispensaries come July 1st. So it's sort of a moving target, but you know, by all means, if it's something you want to discuss now, you can certainly do so. The other thing I would suggest doing before you move off this topic is set a date for a special meeting to consider that ordinance that you want staff to bring back prohibiting marijuana dispensaries in the city.
Could we do that like a half hour before a budget meeting? Would that work for everybody?
I'm out of town next week.
You guys are both missing the budget meeting?
For sure.
Monday?
If we have before the next council meeting, is that 27th?
27th is the next council.
27th, we do it before the council meeting. Does that work?
You have to have 24 hours.
It has to be two meetings. You have to have two meetings.
Is this for the recreational or the growing for medical?
The ban.
Or?
This is the ban of dispensaries.
We just did that. We're talking about the grow operations.
No, we're just going to talk about the grow operations. We're not going to make any motions about that.
Yeah. That's another topic, another day.
Yeah.
Do we have to have two meetings, Chad, you said?
Yeah, you have to pass the ordinance at two separate meetings.
So we do the 20th and 27th.
Well, how many of the council members are going to be at the budget meeting?
About five, I think.
You got four there, that's enough to vote.
Yeah. So you could do the 20th and the 27th.
Not the 20th.
Yeah, 22nd. You could drag the budget meeting out an extra hour.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, you got to get the public involved.
Not for the ordinance, we're not.
PRT, you're going to have to take public comment.
That was not going to take that long.
Well,
it didn't last time. You should have come to that meeting.
I'm in favor of that. If you want to, but let's do it prior to the budget meeting, like a half hour prior. The budget meeting starts at 7:00. If you want to have a special meeting, 6:30, fine. That's fine with me.
All
April.
April 22nd.
Does that need a bigger building?
And then we do the second one on the 27th.
The 20th on the first.
So the 20th, the first meeting before the
6:30 or 6?
Yeah. 6:30 should be enough. We've discussed it tonight.
Yeah, the meeting's on the 22nd.
6:30
then. The 27th will be regular meeting. Just during the regular meeting.
Could you do two separate meetings on the same day?
My throat's going. Did you get that?
I don't think you can do that.
Okay. I did. The 22nd at 6:30.
So I know you don't want to talk about this.
Hey, let's get the dates real quick.
Hang on. Oh, okay.
So we're going to do the 22nd before the
April 22nd.
6:30.
Before the budget at 6:30, then the 27th at the council meeting.
Right.
Okay.
You got water. You got some water.
Yeah. No, I
is this
my voice is
meeting? Huh? He's yelling at Garth.
Special meeting.
It's a special meeting.
I lost them.
Not an emergency, special.
Okay.
So can I just quickly ask Chad a question for the benefit of you all?
Sure, go ahead.
Chad, is there any law at the present time regarding any kind of medical marijuana grows or recreational grows that would cause some kind of screening or some kind of protection from a child wandering into a pot patch or that type of thing?
There are not any limitations or prohibitions related to recreational grows yet. OLCC is in the process of adopting rules and regulations related to that. Medical marijuana grows are a little different because the law is not entirely clear. I think we may have talked about this a little bit before last time about these, what they call carding operations. And there's legislation pending before the state legislature during this session to place some limitations on those. But as of right now, there's not really any limitations on where those are located or safety requirements. There are some local jurisdictions who have put some safety requirements on those, but the majority of the state has not.
Okay, that was my question. As a municipality, can we go ahead and at least call for screening or something? I mean, does anyone here want their five-year-old wandering out to play in their backyard and having them end up in their neighbor's pot patch?
Don't you suppose people watch their five-year-old?
Well, I suppose they do, but I really wouldn't want my five-year-old granddaughter to wander out and even see my neighbor's pot patch.
I don't think any of them are exposed.
Huh?
Because they're afraid that somebody's going to break in and steal it, so I don't think
that. Well, that's it. It brings violence into the neighborhood.
Well, what I'm concerned is you're talking more litigation because people's private property is people's private property. So if you want to do something on your private property and you go and tell your neighbor that they can't do it, you're just asking for a lawsuit from the city. So here we are with more litigation. It seems like that's all we've talked about.
We're told what we can do with our private property all the time. My neighbor is trying to build a carport in the hoops that he has to go through to do it. I mean, that's just part of living in this great nation.
Well, if we get back, if you want to ask questions for Chad, we can do that, and we can always, add to the agenda and debate it more. I mean, do you have more questions for Chad?
I'd like to talk about it later sometime.
Okay, put it on the agenda and get, otherwise we'll be moving on. Okay, everybody, so we're on to the wastewater pre-design contract award. Sorry. We're going to call for staff report.
Mr. Mayor and members of council, I'll just give a quick introductory overview. We decided to do something unique and do a question and answer kind of thing in terms of a staff report and tried to cover every possible question we thought you might have or even questions we had. And so that's before you. To my right is Mr. John Irwin. He's a consulting engineer from Lebanon, Oregon, that was actually introduced to us by the city of Albany. And so we used him in the process as described. And so what I'm going to do is turn it over to him to give you an overview and answer any questions. And I would ask Brian, he's got some materials here. The ultimate engineering firm that came out with the highest score and we negotiated an agreement with is here, Steve Major, and he could answer any questions as well.
Good evening, Council. Basically, what I thought I'd do is go over a brief summary of how this process took place. First, the city sent out a request for qualifications, what they call an RFQ, pretty standard. They prepared this RFQ and then advertised in a regional magazine or journal, basically, that engineers watch closely to monitor for future work. As part of that request or the proposal, they were to basically mandated as part of the thing to attend a walkthrough or a basically on-site presentation and see the site. Six engineers showed up for that walkthrough, and then of course then the proposal was due the end of February, and three of those firms submitted proposals. The review committee of seven members reviewed each of the proposals and basically scored each one as they went. The three firms were Century West, which is out of Portland. They have Portland office, but they also have seven offices throughout the Northwest. Tetra Tech, which is a nationwide firm, their Portland office also submitted our statement of qualifications. And they're headquartered in Pasadena, California. The Dyer Partnership, which has a Southern on office, is of course located in Coos Bay. As far as the three statements of qualifications, SOQs, they basically came in to where Dyer was the number one voted or scored the highest points. So from that, this is where I was brought into the process, okay? I was brought into the process to do the interviews because the city decided to interview the top two firms that they selected score-wise out of the proposals. So I worked with the city. We put together an agenda for the interviews, which were each of the interviews were an hour long for the two firms. They had a short time to present their firm and tell a little bit about it. The other part of the interview process were questions that were basically general questions regarding the city's project in particular. The Dyer Partnership received the highest score on the interview process. The city is then requested a price proposal from Dyer, and they submitted a work plan and a cost for the pre-design report. This is what this statement of qualifications is for. Keep in mind, it's for the pre-design report that DEQ requires for the mutual agreement, the MAO, which they call it, the mutual agreement order. And their price came in at $375,300, an hourly not to exceed figure. Okay, that means that up to that point, they can't spend any more than that, but they're going to bill you for their time. That leaves enough time. We also put in this request, or in the contract, that the pre-design report be delivered to the city for review by the middle of October. This allows the city time enough to review it, have changes made, and be ready by the December date that DEQ is mandated by the mutual agreement order that it needs to be submitted by. So that kind of gives us a little bit of time on the back end to do. So the plan is to, per the committee's report, was to go with a contract with the Dyer Partnership for an hourly not to exceed amount of $375,300 that will be due in October for city review to meet the MAO date of December 15th. Any questions?
How much the pre-design report? I imagine it's a report, but how much design is pretty well completed by the end of the pre-design?
About 30%.
30% of the project.
You'll end up with about a 30% drawing package that will basically lay out the equipment, the buildings, where they're located, how it all hydraulically works, and okay. is positioned throughout. So you know what is located, how big they are, how much land it's going to take, where it's located, and things like that. You don't have the details, of course, okay. in the design. That comes later in the design.
Do you typically get like a survey of the property and stuff like that during the pre-design, kind of
yes.
lay it out?
And there is all a topographic survey. There's also our geotech requirement of the site okay. to look at.
How about like sequencing? You know, we have an existing plant that has to stay in operation as we're installing a new plant. Is that kind of factored in a little bit?
That was also included in the contract as part of the pre-design report, is to make sure we have a detailed plan, to go through as part of the design, to while being constructed, the plant could remain in operation without any downtime, mm-hmm. and then be switched over to the new.
Okay.
So that is part of the overall pre-design plan.
Okay. How about once the pre-design's complete, your opinion on like doing design build after that, if the city pursued that avenue?
You're talking design build with an engineering firm.
Yeah.
Okay. DEQ has told us repeatedly, and I have three memos here that will back this up, that you cannot do a design build.
Okay.
You can do a design bid build, or you can do what they call a construction management general contractor
okay.
type of project.
Okay.
If the city wanted to pursue that, we would need to probably start the wheels going with DEQ now to go through the requirements of a CM general contractor, because essentially what I can figure out from this, because it's relatively new, it's a new process that DEQ has come up with, and it's a lot of little contracts, okay? You basically come up with a design of a partial and you start building that. Then you do a design of something else and you have somebody build that. And it's kind of a mini project rather than have the whole thing designed and the whole thing then be being constructed at once.
But this can be done. Also, wait, let me finish. This can be done after the pre-design, after this, what we're talking
correct.
About.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing of it is that
right. this, we need to get
this construction management general contractor, as well as the design, bid, build, all of them have to have the pre-design report to start with.
Yep.
So as far as the overall track of the schedule, to keep you on schedule, this really won't affect that. But we'll have to start kind of the wheels with DEQ going now to if the city wants to move into the construction management and general contractor type of project. Now that the one thing to keep in mind is the city's going to have to look at this overall to find out how it all goes together, how it puts what puts what where why and how, and then turn around and see if that is even applicable to their project. It may not be.
Right.
It may not be. It may not be favorable, or it may have a different schedule of events that needs to occur, and it just wouldn't be possible to do it that way, because the MAO, the mutual agreement order, is basically set up right now for a design bid build schedule.
But that could be negotiated. I mean, I guess they have the MAO, but DEQ would just, like you said, the process would have to start in negotiation with you.
According to DEQ, you would have to come up with some pretty good reasons to change schedule.
Let me just say this. I mean, this is way premature discussion. We have to get pre-design done. We've been given that. All this discussion, we're open. We met with Mr. Bill Cagle from Orenco, and he presented some great ideas. And one of the things that we agreed on is we don't want to be the emperor of no clothes. If that's a better idea, we're going to do it. And so what we did is immediately got John Gasek on the phone after you left just to confirm where we were. And he goes, yes, you can look at that, but you have to get pre-designed first. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do, and I know I mean, my frustration coming out in my voice a little bit, is I want to get through this. I want to get the pre-design done, rocking and rolling, and we can continue to have this dialogue amongst us and the team. And if at the end of our analysis and research, that is what saves us city the most money, then we need to do that. So anyway, I just didn't want you to make one contingent on the other because they aren't. Yes, ma'am.
I agree with you on that, Jerry, but like Mr. Irwin said, if we're going to consider this other method, we need to get the ball rolling now, or soon, very soon.
We correct. We need to start, the city would need to start discussing with DEQ to see how well this is going to fit the schedule and what hoops we're going to have to jump through to get it done. You know, to basically understand the whole thing, because like I said, it is new. It's not really an old standby process. The design bid build is the old standby. So this is new, and it's all kind of established. And they've set some criteria. They do have some criteria established for this construction management general contractor type of project.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, too. I'm sorry, council is here. Mr. Major's here if you have any questions of him. And Brian, one of the things that Mr. Major did and brought to us is what we call a table setting placement.
Table setting.
But it is what we. Appreciate it from it. It was very, very specific to our
issue. That.
So those are yours to have. And cool. If you have any questions,
Brian,
if not, we'll take a motion in a second and get moving.
Mr. Mayor, I entertain a motion that we approve the wastewater treatment design contract award as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the wastewater treatment design as presented. Any more discussion? Go ahead and vote.
Councillor Anderson?
Aye.
Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
Aye.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, everybody. I'd like to thank the city for this opportunity.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You did a good job, too, I have to admit.
Thanks for coming, Steve. You know you didn't talk.
Okay, thank you.
The meeting's a lot shorter since you didn't.
Don't take it personally.
No.
Now we're on to the fire service proposal. Call for staff report.
Mr. Mayor, we don't really have a staff report other than asking somebody from District 2 sent us a letter, ask them to come up, clarify their position, and let you go from there.
Okay.
I saw folks from District 2. I don't know who they're going to send.
Mr. Schaffler, come on up.
The marijuana topic's a hotter topic than the fire department. Ray Schaffler, Fire Marshal, Douglas County Fire District 2. Mr. Mayor, councilors. We were requested to come up this evening, address a few issues that seem to be circulating about the fire department, rumor mill, so forth. One of the issues that seems to be circulating around is that we are not for volunteers or we don't need volunteers. We're a combination department, career and volunteer. Most of our personnel started their careers as volunteers. Some of us started right across the alley in the back room of City Hall over here. So, can you all hear me okay? You awake?
Yes.
Do you care?
Yes.
We presently have 30 volunteers in the district. 11 of them are in the Southern Kalapuya area. We have a high school program that we started last year. We have 12 students at Southern High School. We also have the same program at Douglas, and in the fall we'll be starting a program with Roseburg High School. It's the high school program is a great foundation for bringing in new volunteers. If someone wants to continue on that path, it's a great stepping stone for them. We have a full-time volunteer coordinator, and last year the district received a SAFER grant for the sole purpose of acquiring and maintaining volunteers. That's his whole entire job, is to maintain volunteers, recruit them, keep them trained, keep their paperwork in order. We know the city has spent money recruiting some volunteers already. If you accepted the three-year extension, we would welcome those volunteers. We would train them. They would need to meet the minimum requirements that we already have set forth for our present volunteers and also our career staff. It's all the same qualifications. But we would welcome them. The city could use those 3 years to their advantage. Those volunteers that they've already recruited, they could train with us, get them classes, get them educated. We could work together with them to work toward that three-year timeline. There might be someone in that group, maybe that's considering being a volunteer chief. You know, they could take that time to get the classes they need, training, maybe some confidence under their belt to take that role if that time came. Sutherland is one of our busiest stations. The tax increase or the annexation that was proposed last year would have allowed us to double the career staffing and begin a equipment replacement plan. The district has a proven fire and EMS service model that has worked for the city for 5 years, and we believe we can continue on that staffing under the current contract. One of the reasons we feel we can continue to do that is our strong operational infrastructure. We have on-duty resources that have the ability to cover the back-to-back calls that Sutherland gets very often. We also provide support services, which is fleet maintenance of vehicles, fire prevention education, and community service programs. The current service model delivers career staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, versus the unknown of the volunteer model at the same cost to the city. The citizens have stated many times that they appreciate our service but did not want an increase in taxes. The fire district is able to continue with the current level, providing professional fire and EMS services to the citizens of Sutherland with no increase in taxes. This is a complete contrast to the fire-only model that is currently being considered by the city. The fire-only model does not lower taxes, it only lowers the level of service provided to the citizens. We encourage you to take the time and evaluate all the information of this issue and vote for what is best for the community. We appreciate your time this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schaffler. Can I ask some questions first? Rick, we might have questions for us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You said the station is busy. At what?
Everything.
Fires or?
Everything.
Well, no, we're talking fire department here now. We're not talking ambulance runs. And
I don't have a printout of each station breakdown, but from an overall perspective, it is the busy station that we have. We could get you those numbers.
Well, that's why we've gone off of what the numbers were. There was 7 to 8 runs a month for fire.
And well, but I think part of the problem too is you're looking at fire. There are so many other things that go along with the fire department. Not to throw anybody under the bus, I was coming to work last week, 6 in the morning, there was a call at the 5900 block, Nonpareil Road, a little old lady had slipped out of her wheelchair. Needed help getting up. Wasn't hurt, just needed help getting up. So they tap Fair Oaks Fire, nobody responds. 4 minutes later, they tap Fair Oaks Fire, nobody responds. 4 minutes later, they tap Fair Oaks Fire, nobody responds. So they go to the next available agency, they tap settling right over here. They drive out to the 5900 block, Nonpareil Road, help her up, get her what she needs, go on about the business. Is that a fire call? No. Is that your mom or your grandma? You want her helped up? So it's an important task as well. So there are so many other things that go along with the department. So
that's what we've talked about, and you pointed on the service wasn't ever the issue.
Right.
But we did ask you guys to come back with a proposal, and it was 316 or nothing. And now we're 2.5 months from our deadline. That's why I'm curious. You said something there just a few seconds ago. You was asked to come back. Who asked you?
I know who asked me, but I don't know where it came from above that. So,
did the city ask Fire District 2 to come back and make a proposal?
You mean for me to stand here today or before me?
Well, to extend the IGA. Mm-hmm.
Who asked? As far as I know, our board of directors asked us to come. Is that where you're? I'm not sure what the question is. So.
Well, that's where I don't know. Somehow or other, the way something was said there was like, you guys didn't come forward to offer this extension. Somebody asked you to come to offer the extension. That's where I was curious on that one.
Well, I think the extension came before I came tonight. Is that from a letter or from a president of our board?
Yeah, let's just set the record straight. This gets a little frustrating, this underlying innuendo that we may have done something. I didn't ask them to do this whatsoever. We got a letter from them and responded and put it on the agenda.
I don't think it matters who did what. I think the important thing is let's look at what's best for the city of Solo. I don't think I could care less who asked who.
And along with that,
I didn't, and no city staff did.
I didn't say you did. I just said I don't.
It's not. What did you get so defensive for? I didn't say
because I've been living with this for 2.5 years.
No. What happened was that one of the board members came and said that they wanted to extend the contract.
That's correct.
And I said that they needed to do it in open session, not.
That's correct.
Not have. Not secret meetings, but something else.
They don't know
what. And so that's what happened. Forrest wasn't talking about you, I'm sure.
Okay.
Before we get deeply into this, I just want to make a motion.
I didn't hear what you
said. I would like us to, we have areas in this town, we have community center, we have Grange, we have the golf club. I would like to hold some public meetings, get the input from our citizenry. Since the whole thing was a money issue back in the annexation to begin with. People did not want their taxes increased. There was not a complaint about service or Fire District 2. It was all about the money. Currently, if they're offering to extend the service for 3 years, I think the people should be made aware of that, and I think we should listen to what they have to say. So if possible, I would like to see us get 3 or 4 meetings, public meetings that people can attend and give us their input on it. Is it feasible that we could get a meeting scheduled for the community building? We could contact the Grange. I'm pretty sure we could get, the use of the golf club for an evening for a few hours. It wouldn't even take that long. But I bet you most people would give us their input in an hour, if that.
Why do we need to have more than one meeting? Why can't we just, it's such a small area. We could have.
Well, because it's hard for some people to get around to different areas. And I would like to, to hear what the people on South Comstock in that area of town, people on the west side and people on the east side, they might have different outlooks on the service and what they. I don't only mean to talk to the mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michelle. I've been looking at Tom Talk. Can you come up to the.
Yes.
But I'd like to make a motion to that effect.
I'll second it.
Your motion.
So let's stop for a second. You're making a motion for.
I want to make a motion for public meetings to get input from the community.
I second.
You second. Okay, now we'll open up for discussion.
What are we.
I'm just opening for
discussion. Well, I make the motion to state how many meetings and in what time frame we're gonna have these meetings so that we're up against the clock here.
Yes. Well, I see that.
Can we have some discussion maybe? Then maybe you can amend it for after we hear some.
I wonder if she'll have to say something.
Michelle, hold on just a minute. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, first of all, I want to say we're getting a little overdramatic, sorry. my self-defense. But I do want to say that we're in a significant time crunch. I've got a budget. We've got to hire an assistant chief. We've got equipment we have to order. Timelines are extremely tight. So I just suggest that whatever you do, if we could do it post-haste. Yeah.
So can I make a comment to that comment you just made?
Mm-hmm. We've got Michelle waiting patiently. So
okay.
Sorry, Michelle.
Michelle Sumner, 778 Scone Mountain Road, Southern. So I just wanted to make a suggestion is we have a city Facebook page. We have a city website. Is there a way that we can go out to the citizens by offering an option via media to ask for their input in that way? Because a lot of people with their work schedules and busyness, and you want it quick, to ask for input in electronic version.
I would venture to say that very few people look at the Southern website unless they're moving here. I don't. Well, I do because I'm a councilman, but I don't think the citizens of Southern look at it very regularly.
I mean, I don't know. I see their website.
It is their website, but I'm just saying I don't think you're going to reach out to the people doing that. But it's a good idea, but I don't.
Yeah. I mean, that's something, you know, because sometimes, you know, when I talk to folks, and it just depends on their age and computer usage, and, you know, and different things.
Meetings are hard to get to.
And that, too. Mm-hmm. I know. Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Mayor. Paul Jackson with Board of Directors of Fire District 2. I just want to address the current motion that's on the table. We have time constraint issues. As you know, we hold the ASA up here. We have to continue to provide for that ASA, and we need to hire personnel, provide living quarters, get a business front. We have things we need to do. We're going to have to pull the trigger on spending some money very soon here, and we can't wait weeks. We don't even want to wait a day.
I guess my question to you is, why did it take 9 months for you to make this presentation to us if you're on a time restraint? I mean, I wasn't even on the council when this was voted on, but that's my first thought is, you wanted an answer tonight, but you 9 months have gone by without you coming to Sullivan and saying a thing to us about it. Why?
I think we proposed extending the contract months ago, sir. Months and months ago.
Oh, I don't think it's been months and months. No.
Never?
No.
In fact,
you were just here, two weeks ago and made the presentation, or 3 weeks ago.
Well, in any event, mistakes have been made on both sides along this whole line, and we apologize if we've inconvenienced the council in any way.
Well, that's where the last we had heard it was 316 or nothing, because we put out for all options. We had several workshops on the options. There was like four different options, and we asked your chief if one of them was renegotiating the contract, and it was his exact words were 316 or nothing. And so that gave us back to the option of volunteers.
Yeah, but
Paul, go ahead.
Is council aware that it was the 316 we were going to double the paid staff up here?
No.
What we were going to do with that 316 is double the paid staff.
The taxpayer probably doesn't really care that you're going to double. They were happy with the service that they were getting at the price they were getting. I mean, that's what I hear out there all the time. Then $3.16 more per thousand. They probably never even heard that you were going to double the staff. So I don't know if that was bad PR on your part or marketing, whatever. I don't know. But it was all about the dollar amount. I mean, that's what it was about. It had nothing to do with how many people you had working, because people were satisfied.
If the council would, that's all in the past.
No, I agree with that.
We want to extend the contract at the current language now, with no increase. We can't double the staff with that.
So you would still get the 3%?
Yes.
This year? So it would increase $26,000. I think that's
whatever the 3% is. I'm not sure what it is.
Jerry,
that's right.
Well, go ahead. I mean, okay, Karen. I'm sorry, you kind of had your hand up first.
Howdy.
What I can tell you about this is that
you knew, Fire District 2 knew, and it was in their minutes, on June 11th last year, the June minutes last year, that you understood that the City of Sutherland wanted all options, with, including a cost matrix, on the table by July 28th so that the city could go ahead and make a plan. And you talk about response times a lot, and this response time is not good. We have gone to a lot of trouble to train volunteers, to get a fire department together, and you want to come in here, I'm sorry, after 9 months and say, well, we've changed our mind. We're going to do this for you. You know, I don't understand your business model. I don't understand. You don't give me a lot of faith.
Mr. Boggs.
I am more interested in this point to hear from as many of our citizens as we can on how they would like to go on with this issue. I don't think it's an issue with the volunteers of District 2 is not negative to volunteers. That doesn't hurt our cause at all. That gives us ample time to train people up to better standards and maybe increase the service even better. But I would like to have an opportunity to have one, if not two, meetings in the next 3 weeks even, to hear from as many people as we could.
We're doing the budget.
I have a question for Mr. Schaffler.
How you talking about?
Okay, I just want to clarify, just another thing about my understanding is, I think I have it correct now, I want to let it know for the people, because they talk about the medical is not going to change. But to me, that's a half-truth, in my opinion, because you have the ambulance with District 2, but if they're on a call to and from the hospital, it used to be Cell and Fire, or District 2, excuse me, would come out because they're first responders. And you still have that 5-minute, 30-second response time on average. With that gone, if the ambulance is tied up, even if it's a medical call, your response times could go 10, 15 minutes. That's what I'm just trying to get the medical part of it too, and how it might collide, because people have asked me, you know, if you have a heart attack and you guys are tied up, well, it used to be you had first responders, well, you're not going to have that anymore. Is that a fair statement to say, or is that legit? Or
if it stayed the way it is, you have a 2-man crew at Sutherland. So if they're on a call, there are, I believe, 17 Douglas County Fire District 2 personnel that live in the Sutherland area. So those guys listen up if the crew is on a call. The second in ambulance is going to either come from off-duty personnel manning up that second ambulance, or going to come from the Winchester station. If it went to the EMS side, we would have an EMS crew here. That second ambulance would come from Roseburg.
Okay, so that's nice. I've heard different versions.
So it would be slightly delayed, yes. So
instead of Sutherland, it's going to come from Roseburg. I just want the clarification. That even clarifies a little bit more for me, but and for the folks. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay, if you just add the EMS side of it, and Sutherland had their volunteer fire group, mm-hmm. and your EMS had a call, does the same scenario work?
There, the volunteer could respond, yes. Is that your question?
No, on the EMS side, ambulance side. You had an ambulance call to Oakland, and then you had an ambulance call to Sutherland.
Okay. So the first ambulance went to Oakland. Okay. Second ambulance right now, as the way it stands, or?
Well, right now you're saying that you have people locally that can call in or do something. I mean, what's going to be the, how are they going to be different, or are they going to be the same, or?
Well, I don't want to speak for the guys that live here, but I would assume that if the city chose not to go with the fire district, then those guys that live here wouldn't respond.
Okay, so then the ambulance, the second ambulance, would come out of Roseburg. And that's what it does now if the first ambulance goes through.
It comes out of the Winchester station. Closer.
So it wouldn't come out of Winchester, it would come out of Roseburg then?
If it was the EMS.
EMS, okay.
So with the volunteer fire department starting up right now, you know, it's going to be basic, getting going. But after a year down the road, is there such a thing as volunteer EMTs?
Yes.
Or EMS that could be working for our fire department or volunteers our fire department?
If that's what you so choose, yes.
And would that take care of grandma falling out of the wheelchair? Or?
If they were able to respond. But like the scenario I gave you in Fair Oaks, and not to throw Fair Oaks on the bus, I didn't mean that at all. But you know, people go to work. They have city council meetings. They teach, you know, whatever, t-ball in the evening. So a lot of times they're just not available. At 6 in the morning, nobody was available at Fair Oaks. So it just happens. It's just life. People are busy. They have other things to do. And to be a true volunteer takes a lot of time. So I think it takes a toll on you after a while.
Well, I'm just, the only thing I'm concerned on with the extending it is, are we going to be right back here again in 2 years? If you have a 3-year contract, take us a year to get everything fired back up again.
Well, I think like Councilor Boggs said, I think the city could use those 3 years to their advantage. I don't know how many volunteers they have now. Let's say they have 10. Well, they could use those 3 years to recruit more, get them trained. So if 3 years from now we're at the same crossroad, you might have a much larger volunteer source. And also you may have someone that's willing to step up as chief if that's the path you chose.
We get a fire marshal that's retired and could be a volunteer in our department.
I'm a ways away from that. Well, not that.
The volunteers that I have talked to that have volunteered for our fire department and have poured their heart and souls into what they're doing, they're excited. Are we going to tell them, well, hey, we're going to extend our contract for 3 years. Come back in 3 years.
Well, we welcome them, just like I said.
Well, I know you say that you treat the volunteers well, but I mean, it's a fact that you want paid firefighters. You want paid firefighters.
But
we
can't do it all without volunteers. We're stretched thin.
Initial talks for the contract 5 years ago was that the district would solicit and try to augment the Sutherland Volunteer Fire Department and grow their the volunteers, and that really hasn't happened much in 5 years. I think it went downhill. There was probably more volunteers 5 years ago.
Well, I know from my experience, there was more volunteers 25 years ago when I joined. I think it's just part of the process of life. The requirements every year become much more stringent on them. Their time that they need to come in, you know, it used to be 2 hours a month, now it's probably more like 2 hours a week, which doesn't sound like much, but when you've got kids and a wife and a job and et cetera, et cetera, it just slowly whittles it down.
Right.
If the city renegotiated, is there any way that the city could have any type of input or with the volunteers as far as being involved in
recruiting them?
Just making sure that they wouldn't be just booted out and say, we don't want these volunteers.
I would think we could come to the monthly meetings and give you an update. I'm sure we're open to negotiating if that's what's on the table.
The question was to Archie LaBelle earlier, and you said yes, I just want to verify, but the standard of training is the standard of training, correct? I mean, you're doing the same thing as they're doing because you're in the state standard.
It's through DPSST.
It's all through DPSST, yes. So they wouldn't be asking any more than what you are doing.
Correct.
Okay.
Chief LaBelle?
Yes.
Could you give us a snapshot of what you think our volunteer fire department looks like now as far as being able to take care of the needs of the city?
Currently, we just graduated 14 volunteers. And then we're going to do driver training and apparatus operator training, hazmat training, all the stuff that's required to be a NFPA Firefighter 1. by July 1st. That will be done.
Are they 14 Sutherland volunteer?
Yes.
Committed to Sutherland Fire?
Yes.
Not a neighboring?
No, we had, I think, five from Kellogg and two from Oakland in the class also.
So we have 14 on board currently?
Yes.
To what level are they trained? Are they all level one? I don't remember what the fire service.
Dedicated firefighter ones, not currently, but they will be by July 1st.
But they all will be, which enables them to do what?
Which
inside,
is,
outside?
Yes. Yes.
Journeyman firefighter.
They're beginner firefighters, is what they are. We also have some people that are coming back that have experience, too. It's not just everybody is brand new. We do have some volunteers that are coming to have some experience, yes.
So, is that part of the 14? The ones coming back?
Not all of them, no.
Okay, so we have more than 14.
Yes, we're talking about it. They went through the class. That we presented with badges and certificates for completing the academy Saturday, yes.
Oh, wait, okay, that's what, because I went there. Because I respect the volunteers. I mean, I was a reserve officer. I that's why I'm trying to understand, you know, if District 2 takes that, you know, and I've known a lot of volunteers. I mean, I respect them, and I'm trying to understand, because at the graduation there were some that couldn't make it.
Yes.
Because two were working, one was at National Guard. I was trying to get a count, and there was 12 there, three that couldn't make it. Right. So that's 15. But you're saying there are more now? Am I understanding that?
We have a couple other ones, yes, that are volunteers, outside volunteers, yes.
From other agencies that are going to become Sutherland? I don't understand.
And I think some of them are going to cross over. Some of them, because there wasn't an active volunteer organization in Sutherland, they have gone to other fire departments around to volunteer their skills.
And so you're anticipating they're going to come back to Sutherland, not be a part of the one they...
They could be a part of both, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, so they're going to volunteer in two different ones?
They could, yes.
Okay.
It's 2 miles from Oakland to here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Going back to the motion, what were your guys' thoughts on who would be the presenter for these?
The only thing that maybe would be, in my mind, the only thing we would present to the people are the numbers, the costs, which is simple. Do you want to continue paying what you're paying now, at the current rate for, say, the 3 years? Or do you want us to cut all ties and go with the volunteer fire department?
Would there be some type of, like what Jerry did, diagram or something?
We could show them some figures on both ways, like we showed it.
And I think you're going to go through the time. You know.
So we're asking Jerry to facilitate this, is what we're going to ask?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it'd be a good idea.
Because I want the information.
Our chief can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'd be glad to work with Chief Labelle, because I mostly want to get the feedback from the people on what they think we ought to do.
One thing that I would like to see, if we're going to do numbers, is I'd like to see a cost to what we spent to date on the volunteer fire district, so people understand the investment that the city has already invested.
But that's not going to be a wasted investment.
No, but I think it's a valid.
There's going to be about $140,000 by the time.
But it's part of it's training.
Yeah.
It's training.
Which we would have probably done anyhow.
We would have done training for volunteers if we would have stuck with Fire District 2? I don't think so.
Well, then you should negotiate the contract when you did it before to include volunteers, is what I'm saying. If we do it now, that's not wasted if they keep them. Because they're trained.
I have that.
Kind of six of one, half a dozen of another.
There have been a lot of stories, and perhaps maybe at these meetings some of the volunteers can show up and give their stories to why Fire District 2 has a reputation for not treating the volunteers.
That's what I just said to Ray, that if we do something like this, then I think we need to be involved, or somebody needs to be involved to make sure that doesn't happen to these volunteers, that they are taken care of, they are qualified, and if they're qualified, they can keep moving up the ladder.
I have one. Go ahead,
Frank. Biggest problem with most of that is union rules. The union rules.
Volunteers aren't union.
No, but the paid people are
union. Well, that's why I'm saying we should be involved.
But they can't do, the union will limit what the volunteers can do with the union rules. Our contract stipulates that the first truck out is driven by a union driver. The union contract stipulates that. First truck out is a union driver.
So to address that, Ray, I know, Will, you had your hand up. Basically, what I want to do is I get Frank's question answered or clarification. Before there's a vote, I do have a couple people that are three people now. I just want you to hear the presentation. If you still want to come up and talk, I definitely want you to come up and speak. I just want their voice to be heard before a vote goes down. So, Ray, can you answer Frank? Can you give clarification to his? Can you come up and he can ask you again? Is that okay? Or state? I don't know the question of it. I just want clarification. Speaking.
The union contract that I saw stipulated that the first truck out was a union driver. And my statement is that the problems with the volunteers isn't necessarily the firefighters, but it's the union rules that govern the firefighters as to what the volunteers can and cannot do.
I don't have the contract memorized, so I certainly don't want to quote it, but generally the union is there to protect the men. So, I don't know the exact wording on it, but maybe it says something along the lines of a volunteer can't take the place of a paid guy if a paid guy is available to be there, something along those lines. So,
well, it says that too.
And that's mainly to protect the union firefighter and his job.
Right.
But isn't the firefighter going to be there? Well, somebody's going to be there all the time.
At the station? Unless he was on another call.
No, but 90% of the time they're going to be there all the time. Correct. Somebody's going to be there.
Correct.
So wouldn't they logically be the first one out on the truck? I mean, if the fire bell goes off and you're waiting for the volunteers and the truck is... I don't understand why that's a problem, Frank, but maybe it is. Maybe it is with you. But I would think I'd like to have somebody there when the bell rings to get the truck ready and... have to wait for the volunteers. I guess you have to wait for them. But I mean,
aren't there union rules that say that deal with safety issues, you know, in union firefighters working with volunteers?
Ask him.
Not that I'm giving a chance.
If they're equally trained,
not that I'm aware. We work with volunteers all the time. We have, let's say, we have a two-man crew on duty today in Green. Each one of those guys that are on duty, they may have a volunteer student that works with them. So that might be a four-man crew down there a day. Two are paid and two are volunteers / student. If they go on a car wreck or a structure fire, they're working side by side.
I have a question for Chief LaBelle.
Yes, sir. We need two mics, don't we?
Yeah. How well is Fire District 2 unions working with their volunteer firefighter now?
I can't answer that. I've never worked. I know very few people that work at District 2. I know the chief and the deputy chief and the fire marshal. I haven't worked with those guys.
I guess so. My question is, as far as training is concerned, how easy is it working with the union now with trying to train our volunteer fire district?
We have not involved their union in our training at all. So I'm not trying to avoid the question. It's just we haven't done that.
Okay.
Okay, so I have three forms here. Willie, you want to come on up? You're one of the forms.
William Caldwell, 1235 East 4th Street, right now.
I can't hear you.
William Caldwell, 1235 East 4th Street, here in Sutherland.
You want to raise that up, Willie?
You know, I'll be hunched over.
Okay.
To address some of your concerns, I work for the Winston-Dillard Fire District. I'm a union member. I don't know where you're getting all your information from, but it's not exactly accurate. For example, last week, while I was on duty, I performed interior fire attack on a fire with a volunteer from Fire District 2. So I didn't sit there and say, no, stand aside while one of my union brothers comes in and backs me up. We don't play that game. They're certified and they can do the job. They're comfortable doing it. We'll use them. So I don't know what all the hype is about. Maybe there needs to be a subcommittee between the City of Sutherland District 2 if this contract extension is voted on or whatnot, to make sure all the parties are deemed equally treated. I know they have a committee already established to do that between administrative staff, paid staff, and volunteer staff.
Well, I can't comment really on knowing one way or the other who is what the actual story is, because I'm not there. I hear your story. I hear stories from volunteers that have been unhappy. So that's all I have to go on, is what you tell me, what they tell me.
Right. And there's two sides to every story. Frank, another great example of the volunteer driving the engine. There's been some departments in the state that have designated, for pride and purposes, to have a separate fire engine for the volunteers. That's their engine. They do equipment check on it. They drive it at the fires. They take care of it. That's their thing. And they take pride in doing that. Maybe that's an option they should investigate, look into. I mean, there's plenty of options here. The only real question I have for the city is, I have yet to see a real detailed example of what the fire department is going to be like if they do take over and form their own fire department. I mean, I sat on the technical committee and volunteered a lot of hours to sit there and say, I want that 5 minute 35 second response time. I want that. I've seen it. What happens when you don't have that? I've heard a comment made that, well, if someone's house is burned down, they can rebuild, they got insurance. Well, until you stared that homeowner in the face, like I had many times, they sit there and tell me, yeah, rebuild my house. I want my baby books. They got my pictures, my albums, my stuff I've inherited. A whole different story.
I have no quarrel with that, with what you're saying. I believe that what firefighters do.
That's why I've sat there in that committee meeting and put my fist on the table many times and said, 5 minute, 35 second response time is happening now. The city's got to strive to do that. Sustain a high level of public safety. There it is.
Well, and is there a reason that the city couldn't do it?
Do what?
Have the 5 minute, 37 second
I haven't seen no time. Role model or anything to show me that can happen.
What do we have to do to show you that could happen? And we have to have a record, right? We have to actually go out and be in the firefighting business and have and create a record for you to see that.
How's the city going to do that?
Well, by standing up to your own volunteer fire department and going out and doing it.
So what happens when the fire call comes in and nobody responds on multiple calls?
I have nothing to do with Fair Oaks. I'm just talking to you about, we can't show you what you want to see until we establish a record, and we can't establish a record until we start doing a job.
Okay, so as a citizen, I want to see that 5 minute, 35 second response time.
I understand, so do I.
That's what the city's paying for now, and they're getting that.
On what? On ambulance or on fire?
All calls. I don't have a breakdown.
It's not.
Fire was 535 when we did the dispatch records. I don't know about the ambulance. All I did was.
But 90% of the calls are ambulance.
Right, but when I did the survey work, I called dispatch and just got the fire calls. The average response time was 535 for District 2. I don't know about ambulance.
Well, that would have to be providing they were at the station.
Jared, I'll have a cigar. You got anything else?
No.
Does anybody have anything?
Thank you,
Willie. He's got a. Jerry, if this contract was extended for 3 years, they're going to still be using our same equipment, so we're not rebuilding our equipment. Where do we stand in 3 years when our equipment's gone? And we, like right now with the volunteer, we're setting money aside to acquire new equipment. For that budget number that we're looking at.
Under the volunteer model that we have, as you know, we talked about this earlier, the intent is over time you would have about give or take $400,000 savings in payroll costs. And the reason we'll have the money to do the equipment and set it aside is because of that $400,000 in payroll costs. We will be able to actually invest into equipment. In this budget, I think we budgeted $60,000 to begin an equipment repair and replacement fund that would, grow over time. Under the existing agreement, my assumption is, unless we wanted to pay extra or set money aside extra, that the money we're going to be paying would just to be continuing the contract as is.
So after the 3 years, aren't we pretty much just...
We're just 3 years behind. We're 3 years behind in creating that reserve fund.
So then we'd be forced to go into the district under whatever the rules are.
I don't know. It's totally white. One of the things you could do is over 3 years try to do something unique with the district and the community that would just like be maybe a one-time bond of 25 cents per thousand for 5 years to raise some money. Maybe the citizens would be willing to do that as opposed to 316 per thousand or some other. You got 3 years to try to put something in place, but if not, then you're back to the model that we just talked about where we're putting 60,000 away.
That's kind of unrealistic considering the fact that we're going to have to be asking the citizens for to double their wastewater rates. They've just had water rates. And we are not going to get any streets in the city fixed. You all need to know this. Unless we put on a utility tax, that's the only way. So that's another tax. So I don't. I can't see the citizens saying they want to go out for another bond.
I'm sorry. The address for us a little bit more is it, but the money is a bunch of, it's theory at this point.
What is?
The money you would say that you're applying for equipment on personnel costs due to what our last meeting that we had earlier today. I mean, it's
theory for the short term because we don't know what the outcome of
I don't know, and maybe so
lawsuits, union arbitration,
legal stuff,
all those things. Yes, but in a perfect world, this, and as I told you earlier, I only see two models effectively working. One is the all-volunteer model where we save enough money that we can spend that in other areas of the city and say, you know what, I know we're not providing this service, but in exchange we're doing this and this is pretty good. The other is doing some form of combination department in which you do expend $800,000 a year and achieve that other level of service. And they're really the only two models. Now what has me fearful is what we talked about before is being forced to pay money for a model that doesn't match up with the service.
Yeah, for the same kind of money. Oh, yeah, I was just trying to...
Did that answer your question, though?
Yeah, isn't that an investment in your city? By having our own volunteer department,
yeah.
And we're investing in
yeah,
our own
right.
self.
So absolutely, yes.
What I'm concerned on is after 3 years, all of our equipment's wore out. If we did go back to volunteer, then we really are right back where we are right now with the meeting that we had earlier. So we're even bent over a barrel worse.
There, anything's possible in 3 years, both bad and good.
We have Patricia Clausen.
Patricia Clausen, 1925 Innsbruck Court. I kind of wrote something down rather than try to stand up here and remember everything. Number one, I want everybody to know, I know nobody in Fire District 2. I know none of the volunteers. I know none of the training on either side. So this is from me and my neighbors. I would like to bring to the attention of the council some history that seems to be lost in the shuffle. Retired chiefs Gene Fisher and Bill Anderson out of Portland were commissioned to do an extensive study of Sutherland Fire Department and come back to the council with recommendations for the future of the fire protection in Sutherland. This was just 5 years ago. They came back to the council with a recommendation to contract with Douglas Fire District 2. The reasons given were the conditions of our equipment along with personnel costs. Now, I understand with the volunteer fire department, some of these costs would be eliminated, but equipment would remain an issue. We now need to add 5 years to the equation and no funds to rebuild the department. Our community has grown accustomed to the high quality of service rendered by Fire District 2. And I can assure you, Fire District 2, and I can assure you that the vote in May was not against the fire service, but against joining Fire District 2 along with the high taxes. I voted no. My reason was the tax was too high for the area that was being served. I did not vote against the services we were receiving. This might be a good time to state that our property taxes should buy us better than a volunteer staff. Another fact that we need to consider is the differences, what the differences will be when we switch to a volunteer department. It's funny that Ray mentioned the gentleman or the older woman falling out of a wheelchair. I can testify to a gentleman, a neighbor of mine, who fell out of a wheelchair 3 times. The only thing that his wife could do was dial 911. A fire truck was there in minutes to help him getting back to his chair. What happens when we're volunteers and is this a service that's going to be rendered? I doubt it. In closing, I do not believe that we as a community will be adequately protected in the case of any of the covered fire protection services the Fire District 2 now offers. If we continue to go down the path of the volunteer fire department, please think of our community when you make your vote. I also looked up the definition of volunteer. And me, if anybody, should know that, what that means. One who chooses freely what they do. One who chooses freely what they do. In other words, I come and go as I please. You can say I'm going to be there 3 nights a week, but if your wife's sick, your child's sick, you're not going to be there. The firemen for Fire District 2 will. Thank you.
Michelle.
Michelle Sumner again. So I am a citizen of this city and my household. I'm here to tell you my thoughts or our decision, since I probably will not be able to make one of the town meetings. We would like to stay with Fire District 2 if this is an option for the same price. I don't think that we should have to jeopardize our safety or my house if it goes up in flames because of the possibility that the fire department does not get there in a reasonable amount of time. Right now, we have a service that I know is going to get there because we have career firefighters backed up with volunteer firefighters. With the volunteer department, they may be available, they may not be available, probably will be, but there's a possibility that they're not. I'm not willing to take that chance with my family or my property, and if that's an option. And I moved here with knowing that we have a full-time fire department, and I don't think with the size community that we have, the second biggest community in Douglas County, that we should be going backwards in our public safety. And so if my taxes, what I'm paying equally right now, and it can stay the same, I think we need to stay the same with our service. So that's what I think.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Going back to Tom's motion,
Oh, I'm sorry. Bring it on. Thank you, sir.
Dan McCormick, 944 East 3rd. I am a volunteer. I am a District 2 volunteer, I'm an Oakland volunteer. I help out Fair Oaks and I just help out the community. And I was on this committee long ago. We went and we formed, you know, from all the public, and we told you guys, this is the way we want to head in direction, right? And we gave you options. And then it was the district, and you were supposed to go talk to the board, okay? Miscommunication, whatever happened, it happened, okay? You guys didn't talk, they didn't talk, and now you all went your separate ways. Now we're back again, the same discussion, okay? The same problem. And I don't understand, I can give you lots of information, you want to ask questions, okay? The volunteers that we have are dedicated, yes. They are there, you know. They've got heart. They have no experience, okay, and our volunteers that are coming into this department. So, you know, so as you see, the price of having a foundation, if it's district with their people, or creating one, which one would you choose? Okay, it's common sense. Okay, I'm a volunteer, okay? My heart's a volunteer, okay? My decision, I would go with District 2 if I was sitting in your seat, okay? Because you can debate all day about medical and paramedics and stuff like that, but what it comes down to, on the district side, you have firefighters, experience, okay? You have captains, you have lieutenants, you have techs for motor vehicle accidents, you have fire marshal, you have, you know, a fire chief. So you have all these experienced people. And now, take that aside, okay, we're not gonna pay attention. Then they got volunteers, okay, and they got students. And they've got, I haven't been involved with the district in a while because I've been with our volunteers here. But I noticed they've got it out in Station 10, they're gonna have a student-run program. Is that correct? Okay.
Can you say where Station 10 is, just for clarity?
Like we had before, sleepers.
But can you say where Station 10's at, location?
Yeah, the Kalapuya Fire
Department. I just wanted for people to know.
Okay.
They might not know Station.
And they're going to be stationed there. So that's the second out rig. And no, we, you know, as long as you meet the criteria of the district, yeah, it is tough. Okay, bar set this high. Okay, it is hard because you have to be. Because, you know, you put your life on the line. Okay, every time you go out, you put your life on the line. Right? Okay, so they have some strict requirements, physical, I don't think they talk physical, but it's a physical agility. Man, it is tough for an old man like me, okay? But I make it, and I work towards it, okay? You have to attend drills. You can't slack, okay? You've got to go to the drills. The drills are the same for everybody, regardless if it's a paid guy or ours. Their criteria is probably towards more of ours, because we need whatever else. Our training, the paid staff trains at 2 o'clock in our afternoon. Who can do that? Okay. Scott McKnight is, you know, he's a trainer, you know, and he's trying to find. I haven't been involved lately with the training, but it's the same. Guaranteed, it's the same. Okay. Our problem is we don't have time. Okay. We don't have time. We're out of time. Okay. You should have done something months ago and made a decision. Yes. Or no, okay? Now you say, well, now what do we do? Well, you know, we can go with the volunteers. Well, we don't have enough time, okay? You didn't give us enough time. And we don't have experience. We don't have enough guys. We don't have enough volunteers. You think somebody's coming out of the cavalry's coming? Nobody's coming. Nobody is coming to help us, okay? They would be here right now if they were, okay? You got some experienced old guys that, you know, have come back, you know, and they've trained their hearts out to try to do it the right way. Okay, it is tough. It is really tough. You can't teach experience. Okay, you cannot. So there goes back to the question again. District 2, the foundation, or we're going to have more time. Okay? I don't know how else to say it. I didn't want to come out here and make a public, you know, statements and say, you know, now I've burned all my bridges. Okay? Okay? Now I've got to stand with the volunteers. I can't stand with the district. I can't stand with the career guys. So I might as well just quit. Okay? But I can't see, you know, you guys haggle over, you know, who's going to respond with medical or who's not. Paramedics, firefighters, man, they are top notch. I worked with those guys. I have 5 years of these guys. You know, they don't treat volunteers like, you know, some of them got treated badly at the beginning, maybe as the crossover. But I haven't had a career volunteer disrespect a volunteer on any call that I can remember. And I've been on a lot. And so it happens. It happens. These guys, the district side, are burnt out. Now these guys have that attitude. They do now. They didn't before, but they do. Because, you know, the council said, well, and the rumor mill said, you guys are just not going to, you know, we just don't want you guys. And now they're coming back saying, oh, we didn't mind your service, you know, but we just don't want the money. Fine. Now they're coming back with the same price. No increase. So I don't understand. What's the question?
Why do you take 9 months? That's the question.
That's what my question is. You guys both failed, in my book.
We didn't fail. We gave them the opportunity to come. They didn't.
Then blame it on the board. I told you at the very beginning, go talk to them. Go talk to them. Take your people, go talk to them. You didn't do it. Now we're back to July. And we don't... They're not ready. We're not ready. Are we? They're not going to say nothing because they're volunteers, true and true. You know, they'll burn their, you know.
You a volunteer with Sutherland Fire Department now?
I am not with the volunteer. I'm with Oakland. Okay. I'm sorry. I should have said that. I'm with Oakland because Oakland needs help. They need volunteers too.
How's their fire department doing?
They're struggling as everybody else in this country with volunteers coming to calls. And I hope it never happens on that side that we don't go to that medical aid, which we're not. We're not going to go to public assist. And so, you know, we're not going to go there. So, because you burn yourself out. That's what I got. I burn myself out going to all those medical calls. And so I went to Oakland because we needed help. They needed help. So three or four or five, six of us are from Sutherland or an Oakland volunteer. And so that's how that works. So if I have to, I will go to Oakland, pick up their engine and come to this call, I guess. I don't know. So that's what we do.
What does Oakland do for public assistance?
They go. 2 a.m, they get out of bed, they get in their car, they drive from here all the way to Oakland and make that call. They do. The three or four of us, right? There's three or four of them. It'll go. Or four or five. Some of them, the Oakland ones are not trained yet as medical. You know, they're going to get there. They're going to get there. I guarantee you, I'm going to help to get them to that so that we can be a better department to serve Oakland people because they need it. They don't have the money that we have here. Okay? That's the difference. Okay? They have hardly any money for the volunteers. They do it at a heart and service the community. We have money. And I'm sorry, I don't trust the city with our budget, because I've been 20 years with it, and they just find ways to appropriate some of that. And so I've never, you know, I'm sorry, I it's different today than it was in the past before Jerry and everybody else came in. It was awful. I'm not saying when he's gone, it's going to happen again. Probably will. But if we go back to the basic of who you want to come, you know, we're not ready. We need more time. Now they're offering a 3-year contract at the same price. So what's your problem? What do you have a problem with? For the volunteers, they said they'll help us with open arms. Well, if we go, we're going to have to get up to speed, because they train twice as hard as we do. Twice as hard. Their academy is tough. It's tough. I'm not saying it's not doable for a volunteer, but it's tough. you have to meet their criteria. And so if you want to say, well, let's control that, you control that. I don't know how you do that. It's in their books and their bylaws of how you can be treated. You got to go to drill. So, any questions?
Go ahead. Just one, if I had $140,000 sitting on the table and somebody came up and offered me something and I take $140,000 and throw it in the trash can, what, would you do that?
I don't understand your question.
We've got $140,000 invested in our volunteer staff.
And then you can blame the council from last year.
And how is that?
That's because they didn't quite, take care of business.
I don't personally see how it's wasted because it's training. So, I mean, there's a fine line there. I mean, you can say it's wasted, you can say it's not wasted. You've got 14 people, 14, 15 people that are moving up a ladder and getting qualified. So, in my mind, the $140,000 was spent for that. I don't think it's wasted, personally. So, either way you go, you still got 14 people that are partially trained, volunteers.
Give us a year, we'll be there.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'd like to say, Dan, I appreciate your speak. I mean, for as long as I can remember, you've been a volunteer.
Right.
And Travis Terry, I mean.
This puts me in a difficult situation.
Yeah, and, trying to get an understanding and just try to get a real picture. And with you being a part of them and just coming up here, I respect it. I would never put you on the spot, have you do it. Where you did it on your own, I salute you. I just think it's great. I know Tom Wells. I don't know if a lot of you folks know. Tom Wells is a longtime fire chief. Tom Wells wants to just be done. And, as far as, voicing his opinion, different things I've been told. Because I was trying to get a real picture of where you stepped up and did that. And I said, Travis Terry, I remember, when we were kids, Travis was a little bit older than me. I mean, he was down there. He knows. You know. And I value your opinion very much. And I just want to thank you for whether I'm not saying everybody agrees with you or not, but I just
probably not.
I just think that
I didn't see anybody coming over to see how we're training and how we're doing. So
I just know you've been there for like Cazar. I was from Dan McCormick, so it's like Ben Franklin days, and just I don't know.
That's right. You need more time. That's all I can.
And that makes a good point to me because I know Travis. In police work and academies, and you come out. Yeah. I just went truck inspection school. I don't know everything. I learn stuff all the time. I mean, it's like you learn a foundation, you just keep learning. And I didn't even think about, or really think about, it's like, come July 1st, you might be out of class, but you got no practical experience.
I think
that's a good point.
Yeah, and when we had a combination department, which I thought this department was going to be, we would have our paid guys, we had two or three of them. Each of them had new volunteers, and that's what we have now. We have new volunteers, and the four of us. And so four of us can only handle maybe one or two.
If anybody has seen the transition of volunteers in training and
what's
worked and what hasn't, I can vouch that, you've been there. I've known you forever, so I just appreciate
the
input.
Some people still talk to me, so thank you.
I'll say hi to you.
All right.
So I had... I'm saying I don't know about the. I'm all for the getting public input. I don't know about time frames. I mean, it's what realistically will work as far as like Karen's thinking one meeting. You said that, I think.
Well, even the fire district says they need to get it.
They're in the crunch. I know.
Oh.
The fire district said,
I'd like to know before I vote what. Who's going to present? I don't think it should be presented.
That's what I'm saying. I don't.
From one side.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Yeah. Realistically, I don't. Kind of what Dan says as far as making the decision and just keep putting it off. I mean, if you're going to have a meeting, is it going to be one meeting? Is it going to be before the end of the month? Is it going to be, did you want to address? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. I'm sorry. So, I guess I just need more clarification, discussion as far as. Time frames, how many meetings, like Karen said, who's presenting it? Are you going to present your draft? Does that work for us? Well, I say draft, I just meant what you did earlier, or some form of it, or maybe you guys have. I just need more, I guess, myself, before I say, okay, let's have,
The only problem I have is that I've been to two meetings about this tonight, and everybody has their opinion. And your opinion clouds what you think.
And whatever it is that your opinion is, if you're a presenter, you are going to present what bolsters your opinion. And so that, if you have one presenter, I do not think you're going to get a fair presentation.
So, with that said, I mean, is it that, is what Jerry presented, is that something everybody feels neutral or no?
No.
Tom? Oh, but what I'm trying to say, if you got, or do you even want a presentation? Because if you don't want the volunteers to do
just
it,
numbers.
You don't want the district to do it.
But you didn't go into saying this is how much for this, but then you didn't go to say, well, you know, down the line it's going to be different.
Well, I took that for granted.
But well, you can take more things for granted when you're dealing with the program.
Do you have anything more?
Well, the 22nd is our budget meeting. That's
correct. I think next week is shot. I mean, I'm just thinking.
Well, but I mean, we need to do this before we set a budget, or it's kind of a put the budget meeting off. You know, it's a
supplemental budget.
I think you can continue on with the budget. You know, this just might come up like the third meeting or something like that.
We got a public chat. Can we come up with a?
Travis Terry, 1304 East 4th in Sutherland. I've been a resident here all my life. I did start when I was 7 years old as well as a volunteer. Okay, I started to flush fire hydrants. I think one of the biggest issues that we have to discuss right now is you're talking a lot about two total different enemies. You're talking about a 100% volunteer department that handles fires and fires only, okay? There's a huge difference between the ASA and who has and holds the title of the ASA for the ambulance service, okay? When you're talking about fire service and how many calls truly are, in factually are, ran per month versus what you're talking about when the ASA is adding numbers to call response for the ambulance service, they're way different enemies. Huge numbers differently. Okay? So when we're talking about running an all-volunteer department, it's only obvious that that's going to be ran way cheaper than a medical fire department combination. Okay? I understand the citizens, and I do believe that they want the service they are getting from District 2 as what they are right now and what they see. Me as a person that is a volunteer that have put in hundreds and hundreds of hours for this city, I got to look at both of them. Okay, I don't want nothing to do with the medical aspect of this. Okay, and I don't think that the volunteers are gonna want to have anything to do with that. So I think you need to look back at what the ASA is gonna do. If District 2 is going to run the ASA, or if they're going to split that, or whoever could contract for the ASA, I don't know, but they're two different enemies. And we're talking 100% volunteers and what you could expect out of those volunteers, okay, versus a District 2 with a full dual purpose situation, okay? So when you're talking about going to the city and talking to the citizens and everything, I think that has to be clearly cut to say, this is what they're offering, status quo, with dual purpose, EMS and fire, okay, versus 100% fire. And that has to be very clear to them. Because I know from living here, this is predominantly an old person community that's on a fixed income that can't afford the increases and stuff like that. Yeah, I think Sutherland can do it. I've been a part of the volunteer organization that we had just as fast fire responses as District 2 back in the day. Are you going to get that now during daytime? I don't know. Okay, we don't know what we can do. That's just that's a matter of fact. Okay, because we don't have that time frame. Everybody in District 2, hell, half of them I've trained that work at District 2. Okay, they started here in this community and they've moved on to something else. But when it comes down to having this meeting for the citizens, You're either going to have to show, okay, the numbers for an all-volunteer department or a combination. And then that's going to have to be decided. They've already decided at one point it's about the money. Okay? So I think that that's something that we, as the citizens here, have to understand and have to believe. Okay? As far as working with the District 2, I work with them professionally. I know most of them, and it's fine. I don't like the experience I've had recently with District 2, where we've got to borrow our turnouts from other agencies and stuff like that to put on a program. I think that that was chicken. Okay, and I think, myself, I'm here for the citizens. I live here, I've grown up here, and I'm for the citizens. And if we're going to be a volunteer organization, that's where I'm going to be. Okay? But I also understand their position. They're running a business. So it has to be, you have to decide when you have these meetings if you're going to separate it, throw numbers out, or have it combined and throw those numbers too and see what the citizens want. Okay.
Thank you. You know, and that's a thought, like Travis said. I mean, if you just list what it is, you know, service versus service, I don't know. My thing is, you know, we've had umpteen meetings, and I know we all probably get different public people bending our ears over it, but as far as getting them here, it's always a trick. I mean, we've had lots of meetings, and I don't know. That's what I mean. It's like, which is just my opinion. I'm just talking, thinking out loud. It's like you have meetings, and you can have them and discuss them, but we've had the one fire meeting that got canceled due to legal advice a couple of meetings ago. Mm-hmm. There wasn't many people here to begin with. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I would love, because, you know, it's frustrating, because you do hear things about the level and the level of service and things, but yet when it comes to a meeting, it's, you know, it's tough. And I mean, I'm all for it. I've always fought about the level of service and just putting that out to the people. And like Mr. Terry said, you know, list it, and that might be a fair presentation. This is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to get in the presentation. I mean, I don't know, because you're saying what Karen said, you get presenting it, or we could have Jerry and not have the volunteers or District 2, and if we want Jerry to do it. Now, I'm just throwing out options.
Terry do it.
Have Travis Terry do it. Yeah.
I'm serious. He did very
but he's
good
part
job.
Of the volunteer.
Yeah,
and with that goes with Karen's argument. Not that he would lean it, but I mean, you got to be fair. And I'm not saying that, but I'm just perception. Or
I think you have to have two presenters. You have to have two presenters. Just for accumulation of knowledge.
So one from volunteer side, and one from... I say volunteer, I don't mean the separation. I'm just, my worry. What, volunteer and District 2? Is that what you mean by two different sides? Is that...
Well, no.
Well, I don't think they're like the sides of opponents.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not separating.
As it's... Like Travis says, it's education. You have to tell them what you get at a fire model. You have to get them in with the combined. And what the dollar figure is. Because the primary focus that I heard out of the annexation business was all about the money.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people even say they thought they were voting, it would be 516. They thought it was 2, and they thought another 316. I mean, I had people, I thought it was going to be 516. I thought, you know, I mean... I've heard different stuff. I mean, that's what I mean. I don't know how you...
Todd, even when we had the citizens advisory committees, when this was a big deal, we had city council people and their spouses and firefighters and maybe 5 or 6 other citizens.
That lived in the city limits?
That lived in the city limits. That's what you got.
I hear you.
So it's a list of
Bill Cagle, thank you, dovetailing. I wanted to say thank you to the volunteers. You know, one of the things that you guys did was a way better sales job than Fire District 2 did. And I got to tell you guys, your approach to, because you have a business and you have a service to sell to the city of Sutherland, and your approach has not been good. It really hasn't. I mean, every time I come to these meetings, there's animosity with your client here, and that's you're just not going to, you know, it's very, very difficult to try and strike up some kind of a deal when you have this kind of an approach. And the deal, I mean, I've heard it said tonight that, you know, well, the council didn't come speak to you. No, you guys are the ones that have a service. You need to be here negotiating with them if that's truly what you want to do to gain their business or to keep the business that you already have. And the other thing I want to say is that, you know, me personally, Chief LaBelle has done, I think, an incredible job. You know, I hear great things about the volunteers and that. I think they took a couple hits tonight that weren't necessary. You know, that weren't necessary. The other thing that you don't do when you're trying to sell your services, you don't run down your competition. You guys actually allowed the competition in when you allowed your client to go down a different path and spend $140,000 to train volunteers. So, you know, it's just a word of advice. I mean, you know, we're going down a path. It seems like you have good momentum. Hopefully it creates goodwill within the community with volunteers. And I would put my faith, I guess, in the volunteers that they'll rise to the occasion. They'll hit the 532 mark or whatever it is that they say, I mean, especially with a leader like Chief LaBelle. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm trying to...
We had a motion.
About the meeting.
That was about an hour ago.
Yeah, I know. Let's get back to that. If we have clarification on who's presenting, how many meetings, and in the time crunch. I mean, to me, it's like our time frame. We've got to try to work these things in.
I changed my mind. Why don't we just see, are there four people who think we should have meetings? Let's do there before we go into the presentation.
Say that again.
Is there a consensus?
There's a motion on the floor. You got to vote on the motion. You can't do a consensus.
Okay.
No. She wants to vote on the motion before we speak about the time and date.
Yeah.
Oh, she said consensus.
Yeah.
You can't vote consensus.
You
have a motion. You have a motion and second on the floor. You got to vote on it.
You have to speak carefully.
It's not
hard. That's what put you by.
Well, there's quite a difference.
Okay, so we have a motion second.
Motion.
Sure. Restate the motion just for...
Did you take notes?
Yeah.
Motion was to have
public meetings.
A couple of public meetings for citizen input.
That's not what he said.
On the fire issue of which way would they would like us to continue to go. Is it somewhere along the line?
It was close.
I was hoping you would do a better job. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I know. That's why I told you.
Does that work?
Yeah, and we've got it here.
Okay, and you got it on recording. Okay. Vote.
Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Lazier?
Yes.
Councillor Stone?
Yes.
Councillor Egbert?
No.
Councillor Boggs?
Yes.
Councillor Meyer?
No.
Mayor McKnight?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, and then I'd like to continue the motion with as few meetings as possible, meaning one or two. And I would be looking at the week, the 27th.
And we have, before you do that,
budget,
does it have to be a motion?
Why don't we ask... Paul, what is your drop dead date? Now you said tonight, you know that's not going to happen. So I mean, what's realistic? So we can kind of maybe work with that if we can. And don't say tonight because that ain't going to work.
We'd like a decision one way or the other as soon as possible. We have quite a few things that need to get done between now and July 1st if we're going to have an enterprise ambulance up here rather than a fire department ambulance.
So I understand as soon as possible. What does that mean?
Could it be an
answer by May 1st? You want an answer by the 27th or April 27th council meeting?
I'd take April 27th because it's before May 1st.
Well, yeah. Okay. So if you had an answer, yes or no, on the 27th, you'd be happy with that?
Happier. Yes, sir.
Okay. So then we need to try to work at that if we can.
So, and you're talking, now realistically, and I love input from the public too, do you think having it next week is enough time to alert the public? And I'm welcome. that, I mean, like I said, we're just down
you
to five.
Put it on the
if everybody promises to tell five.
Can we get an article in the newspaper too? Debbie?
I'm sorry.
Get it in paper, can we?
Yeah, probably.
You want input? You make up a little, for, against, or you, which one you choose. I'll go door to door. So you make it up. I'll go door to door. And I'll find you what the people want. Yes or no? Or just come up with something that says district this way, volunteer this money wise, so people can understand which way would you vote, and I'll see what I can get.
I have a question.
That helps.
Sure. Can you come up?
Sure.
Just because you haven't presented yourself yet, so that you can get a name on the record.
Do I need a sign?
Nah.
Yeah, hell, who said Tigers first?
I didn't know that we were ever 100% volunteer. I thought we were a combination from the get-go. Wasn't that the fact? Isn't that what you voted on?
Well, yeah.
That way he's going to hire one or two and then staff and supplement with volunteers.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
So how come all of a sudden we're just talking 100% volunteer? Like there was never going to be nobody but us. Volunteer.
We talked 100% volunteer.
No, it was never done. What's that?
We never said that. That was from somebody else who came up and spoke.
Well, everybody that got up and spoke was speaking it that way.
I know.
Nobody straightened them out.
You're talking about two paid people and all the rest volunteers. Okay, it's 99.8% volunteer.
No, that wouldn't be logical. Two sixteenths.
You're gonna have two. Well, all the rest volunteers.
I'm gonna tell you that right now. We've got two people on staff at the Southern Department of Police at their operation.
Listen, he's speaking, please.
Ambulance. They're pulling people from Winchester, Roseberry. I mean, that's the same as the volunteers time, probably. Or probably less than how it is. Volunteers could probably be there quicker. I just get a little frustrated with the. It's kind of like it's getting under the rug that there wasn't 100% volunteer.
And I've asked that before. And I think one of the responses was that the difference was, is, correct me if I'm wrong, is that. But they wouldn't be there 24/7. Obviously, they're going to be maybe Chief LaBelle. During the day. He said the motto would be Monday through Friday, something along that lines. And to where they've got two people around the clock now. I went down there, asked that same question before about. So anyway, back to next week. We have volunteers, Mr. McCormick, people sign their names to their address, or you could...
Can we put some kind of sign out on the train?
Why don't you put the sign on the school leader deal? The school...
We could ask.
And more than one place. Why they would put it on there, just a blip, that you're going to have a meeting such and such place at this time to go over the volunteer fire department. Everybody keeps that when you drive up the downtown.
As far as my thought, I'd be willing to take everybody's idea and try to implement them all. If you did the school, you did the
Buster sign,
you did the train. You did Dan. If Dan wants to get some exercise, bang on some doors,
Does the Lions have a sign out on the triangle?
You could do the triangle.
Well, if we could do it then in one meeting next week, and all it is just to present numbers, really, and say, how do you want to go with this? Because I think that's what they're going to be concerned with is what's the cost.
Ma'am, can you come up and just introduce
yourself? Well, I'm Julia Murphy, 7581 Sutherland. You can all hear, it's fine. When you put it out, don't say that we're going to discuss the volunteer fire department, because that's not what it is. It's to see the differences between keeping fire 2 and the volunteer fire department. So make sure that you are very, very clear to anybody in this town exactly what the meeting's purpose is. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So... I'm willing to. Mr. McCormick, if you want to go door to door,
I'll go door to door.
That's
make up something and I'll knock on the door.
Can we do that? Can we be making up something?
Well, just
I just said announcement of a meeting. We're not going to make up facts and figures for him to go door to door with, are we?
Well, or just, I don't know. I'm just brainstorming out loud. I'm just, you know. I like the facts idea. You know, I mean, if that's, I'm just speaking for myself. I'm just trying to get the ball rolling. So, I mean, if, you know, to me, that's what it's about, service. And if that's what you guys want, or if you have different ideas.
I don't think that you could present something that the city council has to vote on to part of the people on something that the city council hasn't authorized to go out there before the people. I might be wrong, but I don't think you can do that.
Say that again, Mark.
I don't think you can authorize him.
No, he's doing it on his own free will.
He's just publicizing the meeting. That's all he's doing.
Okay, that's fine.
I can't tell him to go do it. If you want to, knock yourself out.
I mean, but he can't go out. You were talking about facts and facts.
Well, no,
I
yeah.
I thought
about
that.
You know.
And so.
So. But, you know, regardless, yeah, if you tell people, if they're, you know, yeah, I mean, if they can voice their opinion, however they can get their thoughts or opinion to us, and however form. I mean,
when are we going to have the meeting?
Well, that's the next thing of next
I won't be here next week, so and that's the problem.
But like Thursday, that gives you, because Friday, I don't know what
meeting. We're having a budget meeting on Wednesday.
And possibly Thursday.
Thursday?
No, I don't want to do Wednesday, too. Thursday.
Isn't it?
Yep.
No, it's Saturday.
It's Thursday, either possible.
22nd, 23rd.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Huh? Well, that's right.
Wednesday, Thursday, budget.
Is that
Wednesday, Thursday budget?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
So no, we're going to go into the next week.
Okay, so.
It's council.
We want to make a decision on the 27th.
But we have a council meeting. So
do
you want to shoot
20th.
For Friday? That gives you all next week, and you got.
Do the.
I mean, I'm just.
I'm wondering why we didn't do this on July
28th. Because we
really.
It's a done deal. Just have the meeting.
Excuse me.
Ma'am?
If you're going
to
talk, come
yeah,
up.
You have to come up. You know, so. 28th or. 24th, I'm sorry. Shoot for Friday.
I won't be here.
Are you good with it, though?
I'm fine with it.
Good for Friday?
I don't know if I'm going to be here or not, but I'm trying to be. I mean,
good for Friday.
It's just a workshop for the people to come.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you miss, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
You don't have to be. We just want to give them the figures of the
space. Where are you doing this at?
I don't.
Where are you doing it?
I just like to listen to the public's outlook.
Yeah, that
exactly.
Morning. Because it was a 2-1 vote, so I'm not making a decision up here as a counselor. And going out and getting my head cut off in the public.
Yeah, I don't
so
mind.
I think everybody ought to think about that when you're representing 8,000 people out there. All of a sudden, I'm going to say yeah, and then they're going to come here with pitchforks and say, "What the heck are you doing?"
And that's so another argument. Because I've heard,
or they might come here with pitchforks once they find out the other side.
They might. That's why it'd be
because
you guys voted on it, so I'm safe there.
Well, that's
another argument. You know, the ballot read 316, not whether District 2. I mean, that's just. Sir, did you have something? Could you just please come up?
Frontier Court. And it seems to me that the decision that we made as a public when we voted was we didn't want Fire District Number 2 because it was going to cost us too much. The options that we had at the time were to form a volunteer fire department. Now we find out that Fire District 2 has changed the ball game. So it's a different ball game than what we voted on for at least 3 years. And when you say you're going to have meetings about the new proposal, which is to continue with what we had, I, as somebody that's been out for 5 months, saying, what are we talking about? We solved this problem in the last vote we had, that we were going to a volunteer fire district. We didn't know when we voted, out of that $3.16 or $3.17, that District 2 was going to double their paid staff up here, which we found out tonight. To me, there's a whole bunch of underlying facts that are different today than when we voted. And what are you going to tell in these meetings
to the people that come in and say, my gosh, we voted on that. What are you talking about now? Get on with your volunteer fire district.
So you're saying that you, at the current cost, that you don't want to keep the same level of service you have now?
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Well,
that we are assuming that we're not going to have as good a service because we have a volunteer fire.
No, we're not assuming that at all.
We,
yes,
you are. Yes, you are. You just said it yourself. Are you going to tell the people that you're not going to have the same amount of service? If we have decided to go with a volunteer fire department, then we have to make it happen. And go do it. And if District 2 has other things that they need, so we stay with them, we need to know what that is.
To be presented at the meeting, you're saying?
Yeah. How many volunteers do we need to have a volunteer fire department?
I've asked that question myself, and I've got different responses.
So, I'm just trying to make the point that what's being talked about here is totally different than what the citizenry of this city voted on a year or however long ago it was.
And I agree to you, to a certain extent, because people have, I mean, I've heard all different versions of what they think they voted on. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
You okay with Friday?
You're obviously okay. Karen?
I don't care. I don't want
to
go.
So Friday. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. So,
the time and question.
What time?
7 o'clock.
Where?
You go 7?
Yeah.
You go 7.
The community center probably won't be available.
And is it,
Friday?
You don't know it's open yet?
It probably is. I'm not on a Friday.
It's almost taken every Friday.
Uh-huh.
How about here?
I know.
Here, good, we got, or whatever. So, council chambers, Friday, 7 o'clock.
Who's presenting?
Get to that. We got all the attention. So,
who's going to present that you're all going to believe that didn't skew it or say it the wrong way or...
All I want is factual numbers. How can you skew factual numbers?
You can leave some out.
If you give us the fire-only numbers, what's it going to cost us for two paid personnel? I don't know how many volunteers. I guess we might have to use a guesstimate on what equipment costs and such like that. We probably know what it costs us with District 2, $800,000+. This is what it costs us currently. We go to this model here with these guys. This is what they could provide for us, at this cost.
And what about...
And what we'll do is, Mr. Mayor, we're going to put it together, not even considering the issues before us. We're just going to take the raw operational costs as we would put it together, assuming none of the other stuff. You know what I mean? So we compare apples to apples.
I don't just agree with that. I agree. I think that the citizens should know that Fire District 2 did not submit their proposal at a time when they were asked to submit and have come here 9 months later wanting to change the game plan. I think the citizens should know that because it speaks to the fairness and it speaks to their reliability and it speaks to being able to have a business model.
But the facts are that we were in the process of moving towards negotiating with them when council voted to terminate that and move directly into.
There was a motion made to eliminate all further discussion of
with
the volunteer.
District 2 and go strictly to a volunteer, so that's what we've been doing.
No, what happened was, this is what happened. We, 3 or 4 people, must have been 4 people, because I voted for it. I voted that Fire District 2 should present on July 28th. And they understood from their own minutes that all make cosmetics and proposals had to be presented by July 28th. Okay, well, it's in the minutes.
I'm not disagreeing, I just want
to. Yeah, and so on July 28th, they came back and said, we want a couple of your people and a couple of our people to have, they didn't call them secret negotiations, but that's my word for it. They were to meet privately without the benefit of the rest of the council. Well, that's not what we asked for. We asked for a proposal. We did not ask to have secret negotiations. The city had to make a decision on what path they were going to go on. They knew how long that it took a long time to raise up a fire department, a volunteer fire department. They did not have time to sit around and have secret negotiations.
Well,
I was actually
part of those. And what happened was you challenged me and the chief to go to the district and ask them if they'd consider making a proposal to us. They said yes, but we'd like to meet to just make sure it's even worth doing. And so we met in my office to talk about this is our position, what's your position? That's all we did, is to see if it was even worth coming to the meeting. And at the end of that, there were some push and pull. We disagreed with their point of view, they disagreed with ours, but we did feel it was worth going one more step. So the intent was to come to council. That's what we were coming to council with that night, to ask for three counselors to sit down with three board members and negotiate an agreement. And that night, you terminated that process.
Yeah. We terminated the process because we asked for them, and they understood that they were to come with a proposal and a cost matrix by July 28th because the city needed to make a plan.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Well, I totally disagree that we should, right off the bat at a public meeting, saying, here's what our district did wrong. I don't think that's going to accomplish anything, Karen. I'm not done. I think we should put the facts and figures up there. Here's this proposal, here's that proposal, and forget that they didn't do what you think they did. I don't think it's worth, I just don't think it's a good thing to do. I think that cheapens us. That's my opinion. So.
I think that it actually doesn't cheapen us, it makes us transparent to the public.
Well, but that's a question whether that was in the past or not. I'm not gonna go that route with you, but I just don't think that's a good idea to badmouth them that night. I mean, that's not a good way.
It's not a matter of bad
knowledge. Sure it is.
It's a matter of laying out the facts.
Well, if they would come to the council meetings, they would know the facts. It's been in the paper. I just think it should come down to facts and figures and let the people tell you what they want. You don't need to cloud the issue. That's what you're doing.
It's not clouding the issue.
Yes, you are.
You're clouding the issue
by making your side stronger by saying they were bad people. Forget that.
I'm not saying they were bad people. I'm saying they did not have a good response time.
Let's move on, Frank.
In the cost analysis, you have to remember we're paying them $860,000 a year, and we're looking for that to go up another 3%, which is somebody said 26,000, and that would be again year after and year after, 3%. And the other part of it is what we're putting away, our figures include money going in for equipment replacement.
In our budget this year?
Well,
yes.
And what we're going to spend. So we have to keep that in mind. You want to have apples and apples here. I mean, you're not, you know, theirs isn't putting any money in our budget for equipment replacement 3 years down the line. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
That's well said.
And it's going up 3%. And that was, I guess, a rough spot that a lot of people had was that went up 3%. That was due to the
annual 3% increase we're authorized.
That we didn't always get.
That is true. Because there were a couple years we went in the hole. Because
you don't collect your, they don't pay taxes, you don't get the money.
Yeah. But yet we're still required to give them.
We were required to pay.
Yeah. We only got. Remember, it was only 1.8% or so.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so Friday, 7 o'clock, council chambers. Decision on the 27th council. We need, we're still...
Friday the 24th?
I'm sorry, I keep saying 24th. And information, what, I mean, are we still, we're still there, so what are we going to...
Well, you know, I guess that if every citizen is going to be able to stand up and say what it is they want to say or ask questions, I guess you can have anybody present. Because everybody's going to be able to get up and present.
Well, sure, yeah. So, all right.
Is that how you want it?
Well, how do you want it? I thought we were supposed to get...
No, I just I thought that the intent was to educate.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought. Exactly. And if the people there want to make comments or opinions, great.
I thought that we have to what present John Bob them. Said was...
One input problem is to...
Okay.
They have those dollar figures in front of them, and... Like Glenn said back there, you know, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but I'd like to hear from more than six people on that subject when we're representing, you know, several thousand.
And I don't know, in the, you know, you can't speak of all the legal issues, but that could change things. I don't know how, I don't want that to be misleading because you tell folks this in a perfect world, but the world ain't perfect. If we run into some legal issues... Or we can't go into that, you know, then it changes it. Then it's like, well, you said this or this, but now
it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, it's a different ballgame because you're talking, you know, you could be paying the same for less, more service. I mean, you know, there's just
that gentleman that came up earlier could be back saying, hold it, this is completely different than
exactly. Just what we did, yeah, just like the gentleman said. I mean,
how do you do that though?
I know because the legal stuff's not worked out, and that changes the ballgame completely. I mean, because it's
well,
we all know it does.
That's back to where, when I bid a project, there's a deadline on that project, and you bid it, and you're done. And they don't come back later on, and they say, you know, I could have done that for $600,000 or less. That's exactly what's happening here right now. And that ticks me off, because that's put us on the spot now to where we were more than happy with the service. But what's really happening here is if we would have put this out to bid between two fire districts, and one fire district came in, and now you're coming back and saying, well, we could do that a lot cheaper for three more years. Where would that be? That's what I feel is happening here. Mm-hmm. And there was a deadline. We picked that date. We went volunteer. And now it's like we're back to hashing back out what we were
before. We're back to square one.
Yeah. So I'm all for the meeting. I would like to see another volunteer chief come in and give the pros of being volunteer, right along with Fire District 2's giving the pros of being professional. You know, if we're going to have a couple people speak, that way they're independent.
Well, and I don't know how the guys feel about that as far as that. I don't want to create no separation, you know, because, you know, as far as volunteer versus professional, because, you know.
No, I think they should give the pros of every part of the aspect of their job.
Is it volunteer or district two? Are we on page with anything that makes? And I don't know if we got to come up with a plan. I mean, keep beating this all night. I mean, it's like as far as. I mean, I'm okay with this. You know, the city. You know what I mean? It's like I don't know.
I thought that Tom Boggs said that he wanted to hear from the citizens, and that's why he wanted to have this meeting.
In my opinion, you got to have some type of structure. You got to have some type of presentation for the citizens to hear.
He wants to hear from the citizens.
And don't you want to have some for them to hear?
Yeah, well.
I mean, I can tell you the citizens are confused or you know, they don't know. I mean, they ask me stuff about levels of service.
Well, I don't know that having a volunteer chief and
chief
speak to the plan. That's just, you know, maybe the separation doesn't need to be there.
Because
I would like to see our volunteers meld into District 2's service here. I don't know why they couldn't make an excellent, you know, support staff or, hell, give them their own truck and let them do their thing, like I said.
Probably going to have 10 people show up.
I think what is giving the people the best deal for their dollar? And I think when the vote was made, it was still all about the money.
I guess that's where I just stand, you know, with the people. I mean, I guess the personal frustration is, I mean, and I see both sides, but at the end of the day, I just care about the folks of the of Sutherland. Come on up, please.
Yours is the good time.
Brenda Egbert, 1550 South Copstock. You know, I've been coming to these meetings a long time, listening to this fire stuff, and it's been going on and on and on. I heard Forrest ask several times, wouldn't you please extend this deal? Wouldn't you please extend this contract? And he was told no. They voted at their district meeting not to extend the contract. The people have voted. We are almost to the point of standing up our fire district, and now they're coming back, and you guys are considering it. I just can't believe it.
No. Thank you. Okay, so we have one last thing to resolve as far as how do you want the information presented. That's what we've decided about the meetings, everything, so I need some help. I keep asking the same question 50 times, so I need, you know. I mean, if you want the public to come and just ask questions, that's fine. And who's going to answer? Are you okay with?
I think the public is, they have at least an idea that the volunteer fire district, what it possibly can do, or how it's different than Fire District 2. I think what we're trying to do is let the public know. It's, at least I get the feeling that we're trying to let the public know that Fire District 2 has come back with a counteroffer at the last hour. And that's basically what we want to have the meeting on is, okay, Fire District 2 is coming back with just an extension of the same contract, which wouldn't raise your taxes. What do you think? Should we continue on with Fire District 2 or not?
But it's more than a matter of not raising your taxes. There's a cost savings to the citizens to keep our volunteer fire department that could go for other things like fixing roads.
But that all has to come, if we're going to do a presentation, that's the part that has to be presented. And it's not going to be in year one, it'll be in year...
That's what I'm saying. At this point, there's a bunch of I don't know and maybes, and I don't know how you can present that as fact.
Yep.
You know, what you're saying, because that's not proven to me yet, so I can't go out and say you're going to save X amount of dollars, because it's just a bunch of I don't know and maybes at this point. So, did you want to come back up?
I am going to come up.
All right. You're going to like that mic, trust me.
All right. Okay. Julie Murphy, 758 East First Sutherland, lived here for a long time. My husband was born and raised here. I have two college degrees. And let me tell you that when I voted on this, I didn't understand what I was voting on, okay? My mistake. I should have come to you. I should have come to them. I should have come to whoever. It's water under the bridge, guys. So now a couple different gentlemen came up here and they spoke that, wait a minute, what exactly is this? What are we talking about? So I truly think that I can speak for a whole lot of people that really would like to know, if we go volunteer, this is what we can expect. We can expect to have a man station Monday through Friday, 5 to 8, or whatever it is. We can expect that, no, they're not going to be available for XYZ. Yes, they are going to do this. If we keep District 2, this is what we're going to get. Just plain black and white.
The only problem I see is I don't know, can you say from the volunteer model end of it what's going to happen? Yeah. I mean, that's
the only thing I can say with certainty, as I've said, and the chief and I have said this, right now we've got 15 volunteers, maybe three more, 18. And on July 1st, we're going to be responsible for responding to fires, and that's all we're going to respond to. Now, somewhere down the road, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we might have qualified people to do the vast array of responses, but we can't do that at this time.
I don't know what maybe.
Well, that's all I can do. I can promise you we will stand up a predominantly volunteer fire department with theoretically a chief and it's an assistant chief and probably a volunteer / training coordinator / administrator personing the office and laying out schedules and doing that. And we're going to respond to fires. And my last count was there was 9 fires last year. And my point to you and many, many, many times nine fires a year does not justify an $800,000 investment.
Correct. That we don't know. That goes back to the unknown. Right. That could change. And that's
so Jerry is. That's what I can promise. Now after that, we're going to try to do everything and anything we can over time.
As a leader of our city,
you
and knowing you, mm-hmm. you have had a plan for the next 5 years for us. Mm-hmm. Every time you've ever came to us, this is what our goal is. This is what all of this stuff, this wasn't up here. Mm-hmm. So you can't sit there and tell me that July 1st is as far as we're going.
I didn't say
you
that.
Should already have a plan set out to where we're going to have a volunteer. We're going to strive to get volunteer paramedics.
Right, of course.
That should have been the first thing right there just came out of your mouth.
That's because I'm not going to do it day one. We've got to get an organization up and going.
You should have a plan right now. That's
part of... How can you implement the plan to the public?
I don't need the plan to the public. It was already voted on. We voted to go volunteer. There should be a five-year plan. It's all right, this is what we're going to be dealing with the personnel. This is what we're going to be dealing with saving the money for the equipment. Mm-hmm. This is what we're going to be doing with this whole department.
We have that.
It's like this department we're trying to shove underneath the rug and say that it really doesn't exist. And maybe we could just go ahead and go with somebody else and not worry about it. We should have already at least a three-year plan as to what we're doing here.
We do.
Yeah. With the plan, I think what he's getting at.
You put that down on paper, just like she said.
Come up and tell you.
But the plan is, a lot of it is, I don't know, and maybes or theories.
And what's going to happen in 3 years? I don't know, and maybes.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know...
On both sides.
Yeah. I don't think any of us know what's going to happen to us tomorrow. I mean, you know, there are no guarantees. But I think that you can put, don't do what ifs, don't do maybes, don't do anything. Here and now, this is what we've got. 15 people, don't tell me 18 when they're three maybes. You've got 15 people, they got their certificates, they kind of know what they're doing a little bit. I don't know. Okay, this is what they can provide come July 1st. This is what Fire District 2 can provide come July 1st. Not maybes, not what ifs, not 20 years in the future, not 6 months in the future. I own a house here. You know what? You guys say that $800,000 a year for seven fires is too much? Holy God, I'd pay that in a heartbeat to save my house, to save my family.
I agree with you. I've always said, you know, because if something happens to somebody's
I buy insurance. Those people are insurance. Is there one of you here that doesn't have insurance? That's what it is. It's insurance. So tell the public. You can have this insurance package. We'll call them Volunteer A. Or you can have this insurance package. We'll call it Fire District B. Those are your insurance packages. Which would you like? And the tables have changed. Things have changed. Facts are not what they were when people voted. I don't even know that people knew what they were voting on. I didn't. That's all I'm saying. Put it out black and white. Not what if, not in the future. That's all you gotta do.
Thank you.
Ma'am?
You sure?
Sorry to keep dragging this on. Justin Peterman, 528 Opal Street. This is really frustrating as a citizen. I don't know what you hope to gain by having a Friday night meeting at 7 o'clock. I mean, how many people are in attendance tonight on a scheduled meeting? How many people do you think you're going to get? You're going to get 50? You're going to get people who are going to root for one side or the other. That's what you're going to get, period. So, and then here we are. We're going to sit here and debate for 2 hours... the seven of you on making a decision. We're going to debate about making a decision on how to make a decision. You seven were elected to make decisions on behalf of the city. So if you really want to know what the people think, then put it back out to a vote. Do we have time for that?
No.
Nope. Guess what? You guys have to make the decision. We have to stick with it, and you, and you, and you, and you, all of you, are going to have to deal with the people who show up with pitchforks or don't. They're going to stand behind you, or they're not going to stand behind you. But that's your job as a counselor to make a decision. If you don't want that job, step down.
I'm not stepping down because we've already made that decision.
That's fine. We didn't make that decision. As a citizen, we didn't vote on going volunteer. You guys voted on whether we were going to go volunteer. We voted whether or not we were going to raise our taxes or not.
$316,000.
So that's what we voted on. If, as a citizen, you understood what you were voting on. That's a big if. Because you've heard from several people tonight who had no clue what they were voting on. Was that a bad sales job by Fire District 2? Maybe. Was it a bad sales job by the city? Maybe. We can point fingers either way all night long. What it comes down to, the seven of you have to make a decision. And you got to be willing to stand behind it. That's all it comes down to. And if you're not willing to, I'll gladly take your seat right now. Gladly. Because I am ready to make a decision on this matter. So any one of you want to step down, I'll take it. Gladly. There was a couple of you last time I spoke that were willing to step down if I was willing to take your seat. I'm here. I'm ready to take your seat.
You didn't run.
You're right. I didn't run.
Why?
I didn't want to run. I thought we were going to elect some people that could make some decisions. I did.
Thank you. I know. You just get to a point where I... You know... Oh, God, no, come on.
Beth Houseman, 109 Frontier Court. There's two things that were said tonight that have me a little bothered. The first is Hugh Life. I hear talk about money and this amount, $800,000, not worth seven fires or whatever. But I grew up... in Bell Harbor, New York, and we had a lot of firefighters. We lost the most firefighters on 9/11. When there's a fire, I want the person who's going to run into the building to save the life. To me, it's about the life, not the property. It's the elderly person who can't run out of the building. It's the child who's afraid and hiding under the bed. I want a firefighter who can enter that building in the right amount of time and save a life. It's about human lives. It's property's one thing, life's another. And the second thing is, I've heard how 15 volunteers have passed the training, but I don't know what it's called these days, but can they pass the hose carry test? Is there a physical requirement for them to be certified as firefighters? And can these people who've passed the training, the written exam, or whatever's involved, can they pass that? Thank you. Those are my two.
They do physical training, though.
I know they do physical training, but can they pass the hose carry test, or whatever it's called these days?
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Where they have to carry the equipment to show that they can suit up with everything that's required and be able to physically carry a hose, because there's a liability for them. If they can't perform the duties, they shouldn't be doing the duties, volunteer or paid. So those are my questions, as I hear all the comments and everything about he said, she said, they said, we said, whatever. Those are my two issues.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I agree. I mean, I would be fine with making the decision next council meeting. I've always said it's about people. I don't know how you put a price on property and people, and I've been trying to argue this for years, and I've never felt like I got a good answer. So I mean, I don't know if somebody home goes up in smoke and everything they own is gone, or their family shirt, and they come up here, it's like, well, we're sorry, but on the bright side, you know, the city saved X amount of dollars. I can't do that. And I brought up scenarios with my girls and my family, and I got responses, well, somebody somewhere will run in, I'm sure. Well, that ain't good enough for me.
You know, if it was really a matter of safety, And I think I can talk about this because the lawsuit is public information. It's on the internet.
Chad,
here's what I'm going to talk about. But our chief of police, Chief Sanfilippo, was in two different places. They had a combined fire and police situation. And in the city that we lived in before we moved here, the city next to us had the same thing, combination, fire and police. So what they did was you pay firefighters to sleep. You pay them to sit around and polish their trucks or whatever, and you pay them good money to do that. If you can train your police officers to be combination fire and police, then you can save a lot of money. And it is just a fact of governing that cities, states, the federal government, we're just running out of money. We can't just continue to spend. $800,000, no. $800,000 to save a life is a great thing. Yeah, I would spend it. But if it was about the safety, then why would a lawsuit be filed by the firefighters union so that our chief of police could not have a combination firefighter police situation here? Our chief of police and two of his sergeants started training in the firefight with the volunteers. We were also going to take some of the people that worked for the city, just whoever they were, wastewater people, water people, and we were going to train them as volunteer firefighters so that we would have plenty of coverage. Is it about the safety or is it about union jobs?
Well,
that's the question.
Well, I'm not sure.
Yes, we had all the facts of that story.
Yeah, I'd like to have city back that up, you know, because my understanding, I never knew of anybody that was for that, city employees. I never heard about cops that were for that. I heard the idea, but I never heard about this. We were going to train them. We had this on board.
Did you know that San Filippo and two of the sergeants had started the training? They did.
That's what I'd like to hear from them, because I didn't know nothing about it. But so regardless, are we going to... I mean, for the record, I agree. I'm ready to make a decision. You know, we can wait, but there is a motion that's been passed. We have a meeting set date. If you guys want to change that or stick with it and make a decision on Monday.
What do you mean you have a recommendation to make? You said you could make a decision now.
No, I'm just saying personally. I mean, but we do have a motion. It's been seconded. We have a meeting set, you know, and we can make our decision on Monday the 27th.
Okay.
The original plan was correct.
We could, or if you wanted... If you want to go straight to a vote,
well, no, we can do it. We made a motion, it passed, and discussed.
You got to make that motion?
No, I'd like to hear from people still.
That's fine.
I know we were elected to make a decision, but I think under these circumstances, people would like to have some input.
I don't disagree with that at all. I just think in 1 week's time, you're not going to get the amount of input you need. There's 7,600 people in this town. You're not even going to hear from a tenth of them.
Well, you only got an average of 2,300 voting members. You don't count the kids and all that.
Nobody
that for the public.
He didn't finish the motion.
But if I got input from 100 people, I'd be satisfied.
Go ahead, Jared.
Well, I don't know. I've observed, or probably said this before, but is anybody going to change their mind? Is anybody open enough to listen to the two alternatives and reconsider?
Haven't we listened to the two alternatives for it?
My point.
With that's what Mr. my Peter thought is. I bet you could vote tonight. You're going to have the same vote you're going to have next Monday, or week from Monday night.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to throw that up. Based on what Mr. Peterman said tonight.
I don't think you can call for a vote tonight.
I won't be here.
Well, I could if I wanted to. I can't call for a vote tonight.
Well, you can call, but you're not going to get it because it has to be on the agenda. People have to know.
Wastewater. It is on the agenda.
I think it is on the
agenda. It is on the agenda.
It's not an action.
It is an action.
It's an action item tonight. We can vote on it right now.
Well, I'm not trying to throw cold blanket on the situation. If there's a willingness and openness to consider the alternatives, then fine. But
I'm always open to listen to the public. But I mean, I said it beforehand. Getting the people here. I mean, I'm not going to repeat myself what I said. Justin came up and said it. I mean, as far as I'm all for listening to people, I think.
And on a Friday night.
Was it on the agenda tonight? Put it for Mondays. Have more people come in.
And not do the meeting, just have it on Monday and vote?
Because we've had a meeting here tonight with a few people, so let's advertise it more and have more people.
And eliminate the Friday meeting, have it on the council meeting, and do it.
Make a vote.
I'm with a vote. I'm good with that.
Okay.
So are you...
Motion to cancel.
Pulling your motion.
24.
I'll make a motion to cancel it.
No motion.
He meant the 27.
Yeah.
Okay. Just say, no. You're just rescinding your motion. You're not making a motion.
Oh, you rescinded it? Okay.
We already voted on one.
Yeah, we voted on it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was voted on, so you should make a motion to rescind your previous motion.
Does this sound anything like the Congress of the United States?
Well, I just think everybody's trying to get
motion to rescind.
Okay, I'm gonna make a motion to rescind.
Second.
There you go.
We're good.
Okay.
So we just put it on the agenda so we get some more bodies in here.
Let's make a motion for that.
Probably won't be any different.
Pardon me?
The same.
27.
Oh.
Can we get a motion? We need a motion on that, on the...
He just...
You had a motion in a second.
So now we need to, vote. We need to vote. We need to vote. Roll call vote.
Roll call. On the rescind.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councillor Lazier?
Aye.
Councillor Stone?
Aye.
Councillor Egbert?
Aye.
Councillor Boggs?
Aye.
Councillor Meyer?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And we have consensus to put it on the agenda.
Yeah, it's on the agenda. We're going to vote.
We'll make it a live agenda.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. City manager updates. Please say no.
Okay. Hopefully you don't have anything.
Councillor comments. Please remember, monthly meeting time is limited. Please ask questions or make statements that are likely to benefit the group. Individual comments and questions that can be handled on a one-to-one basis, please do it outside the meeting time. Councilor Ashton.
Jerry, I thought you did a good job in the packet this week.
Thank you.
I thought your level of work was really good.
Thank you.
So I appreciate that.
I did that.
For the wastewater?
I hope. I did that, and I prayed that you'd say that.
Well, that's what I had. I really appreciated that. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I have.
No, I don't know. Next.
So
I know. I saw the look in his eye.
I heard enough tonight.
I just had the one thing on the stoplight that I'll talk to you on.
On the west side?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, did you see my weekly report?
I'm not talking about it.
Oh,
I said please. I said please. Frank.
Coming up, we're going to have a wastewater rate.
Yes. Yeah.
Could Dan get us the what we're charging the 22 different
sure
groups,
mm-hmm,
so that we could have that when we're looking at the,
and you'll see all that here. We finally got all the packages refined. 22 different. Doing the analysis.
Andy didn't. He kept saying. I mean, when he kept bringing that in, he kept, well, I didn't bring that. I'm asking for it.
You'll get it.
Okay, the other thing I had was that the 5:30 meetings are really hard. I had to call my wife, have her come and set my shop while I could get cleaned up and come to this meeting because my customer couldn't get there by 5:30.
I understand. That was an anomaly. We've not done that before. Yeah. It's never a choice. Blame it on Chad.
Sometimes we just don't have much options.
Well, we had voted once to start the meetings at 7 o'clock, and this just keeps sliding off.
It's just because of time crunch, but we'll always be at 7 for guests.
And I'll be respectful of that. That's why we put that it was an extraordinary circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't get those
meetings. They were emails.
You could be absent. Emails.
I meant to actually call you and apologize, but I didn't. Meant to be's don't do anything to me.
That's it.
Okay.
Nothing.
Karen. I have nothing. Meeting's adjourned.